morning, Mike.
There'll be no mollycoddle.
A member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
All is from New York City. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Speaking of the best of America as a lifelong Democrat, I have to say that the best of the best comes from the Don and Mike show.
Philadelphia, Democrat. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Don and Mike.
All right. Thanks. And our next call comes from Greenwich, Connecticut, Republican.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say that the worst thing in America today are special interest groups that are outrageous and have time to protest. How do these people have time to protest, first of all, if they hold jobs? And second of all, why are they not listening to the Don and Mike show?
Oh, dude.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity Burp. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe. Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Can't stop the rock.
Say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, here they are. Oh, no, not just one Monday connection, but there is a nice bunch of boys. It's all I can get a word I say, man. Look at those. They're all here for the big meeting today.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi, not one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart.
Right.
Viewer discretion advised.
And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Mickey Rooney as Bill, and all the ships at sea. And now the halftime entertainers for the WNBA All-Star Game, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Farrah.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this
Monday,
July 15th. And here's your phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C., on WJFK, 202-432-1067. It is an embarrassing spectacle that happens every day at about 10 minutes until 11 o'clock.
I tell you, this is the first day that I really thought that I wanted to step in.
He practically raped you.
And Mike, why is it that you stand and watch and never help? It's shock, Don. You know, normally I'll step in an altercation, but it's just shock that Buzz just so easily manhandles.
And just a little bit fun. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, today, he sodomized me.
He did.
As he screamed, announce by name on the show. It was disgusting. It was disgusting yet fascinating and, as Buzz said, amusing.
I am his bitch, and he is Buzz. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
There you go. There's the intro. There's
Thank
the
you.
Mention.
It was worth it.
Buzz. Buzz, 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 Buzz.
Very good.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to the show. Hello. Don and Mike show.
That's not the original burping guy.
No, it's not.
That is not the guy.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hola.
So we test the water. This is the equivalent if you go out to your neighborhood pool and you stick your toe in the water. This is what we're doing. Right?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you that we went to Ocean Pines this weekend in Ocean City, Maryland.
Yes.
And I just wanted to let you know that the sign is still intact. No one's changed it back to Ocean Penis.
Thank goodness.
Very good.
Thank goodness. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You know, I really think that giving you the key to the city would be not enough when you consider...
All I've done for Ocean City?
The fact that you have single-handedly been responsible for creating a tourist attraction. It's pretty amazing. Not a lot of people can do that.
No, and I can't take the credit. Remember, right. It comes from my son.
Yes.
And my nephew.
Right, exactly.
However, I did green light the idea. Mm-hmm. I did give it the go-ahead.
You green-lighted it?
Hello, Don Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm so glad to hear you. I miss hearing you on the Internet, but because I can't pick you up in the station, building I work in. So I'm off, had the day off today, and it's a pleasure to hear you live.
Well, thank you so much for that incredibly detailed bio.
Well, all I know is if this show is heard on the Internet, that is a violation of CBS policy, and I want nothing to do with it.
Right, right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, yeah, what's up?
This yo, yo.
All across your face and in your ear hole.
Pardon me, speak white.
Begin, I think.
I said, yeah, yeah, what's up? This been a nigga all across your face and your ear hole.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Deanne. Hi there.
Yeah, what's going on? I didn't hear you sing like God, Mike.
My God.
And I was asking you to be nice.
My God. My
I'm talking about.
God.
Deanne.
The first time... You guys get that caller 100 for the burp. Sing like God, bitch.
He's ordering you to sing like God.
I haven't done this before. What do you want me to sing this?
You have sung like God. Like when you sing like Hank Hill.
But what song do you want me to sing like God?
No, just do the God yell, bitch.
Now,
Rob, help me here. I think Ian is totally out of whack.
Ian,
as the de facto historian of the show, I know not of what he speaks. I can guess what he's driving at. Maybe even with some echo. Whoa. Is that what you want?
Why?
There you go. He did it before going to call him 100.
Well, Ian, bitch.
No. He's saying that to you. He wants you to sing like God again instead of Robert Goulet.
You call me bitch?
I called you bitch.
What do you call me bitch for, BN?
Sing like God.
No, I won't. Excuse now you call me bitch.
Excuse me. If anybody's a bitch on this show, it's me, and I'm Buzz's bitch.
That's right.
Because Buzz sodomized me today.
Okay?
You're mine.
Sing like God.
Just one time.
Bitter end. Let me ask you a question, BN.
Hey, go grab Rob.
Well, no, Rob's out of the studio. Why so bitter? On a fresh, brand new start to a week.
It's a Monday. Why not be bitter?
What is it? Tell me.
Another bitter Monday.
How do I sing? I've done it before. You say I've done it before. Buzz,
yeah,
you're not in your head.
I remember
you
doing
Buzz,
it.
Buzz, you tell me what it sounded like.
It was the big, deep voice. You know, you sang like God.
Well, that's like Robert Goulet.
Yeah.
So.
A little.
You wasn't singing. You wasn't singing. The odds are in my favor. You were just. No.
Well, you know
damn,
what?
No.
Here's the deal. I don't remember it. I don't remember it.
I hate starting the show on a Monday with an angry, bitter end.
Get the tape, Rob.
And I don't mean that as a stereotype of the race in general.
No,
I'm talking about this one particular fellow who goes by the name of Bitter N-Word.
This guy. I got to ask you something.
Where's
about
the hockey?
Hey, BN, hold on. I got to ask my partner about something here.
What?
You mentioned that internet radio and CBS is against it. I'm doing like this. The band is doing this benefit for like internet radio people. And I don't know, you know, it's one of those deals where the money's green, so I didn't.
You might want to run that past someone on the third floor.
Okay, I might want to check that out there.
And
of course, we've already signed the contract. So
all I'm saying about our show on the internet is I don't want to know about it.
Of course.
I know it's there.
See, my appearance there means nothing. I don't make any political statement. I am just there. I am just there, you see.
And I believe you can be on the internet.
It would be like doing, I don't, you know, it has nothing to do with the show.
Hey, bitter end, Rob is not here.
Where is he?
He's left the studio. What do you need?
Get the tape.
No, we're not getting the tape. Goodbye, BN.
Get the tape, bitch!
Goodbye.
He knows what he wants. He's wanted it now twice, and I don't have a memory. You do. Just vaguely, I remember you singing big like God. I don't remember what God sang, but God sang something.
Here is,
whatever.
Aaron from New Orleans. Aaron.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Great show, yo. I'm glad y'all come down here in New Orleans. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Look, I had did something similar to what something your son did in Ocean Pines.
Yeah.
It's called Elbow Movement Parks in New Orleans, and me and a friend of mine got together.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, about 6 months
ago. He had did something similar. That's all I was trying to say. Go ahead.
Okay. What did you change the sign to?
Elbow movement changed it to bowel movement park.
That's pretty good. That's fantastic.
See, that was worth the wait. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hadn't you did something similar when you were a kid when you changed the sign to...
on a movie marquee.
Right.
To say the F word.
It is one of the funniest things you can do, in my opinion.
All right, before we get on with the show, the good news is that Dennis and Mr. 40 did make it on stage with Poison.
Oh, they did?
They did perform on stage with Poison.
So did they get it recorded?
Yes, they did.
Well, everything fell into place.
However, keep in mind, it is a Dennis Murphy production.
Now, I will be curious to know what Dennis wore, because we had the requested outfit, and then we had the outfit we figured he'd end up wearing.
We'll find out very soon. We'll listen to the tape in just a moment on the show.
Very good.
They did not get on stage.
No, of course not.
They gave them microphones in the seats.
Unplugged microphones.
Oh, no. The microphones were plugged in.
They didn't get on stage.
They
Poison effed us.
They didn't bring them on stage.
Poison completely effed us.
At some point after the show, Dennis has an interview with Brett Michaels and CC DeVille.
Would you, if you had a big, hot rocking band, would you put Dennis on stage?
No.
Hey, we've done our little Las Vegas style show and put Dennis in a cage. They didn't have a cage.
We had him dance in a go-go cage once in Wichita.
Wichita, when it's like 150,000 degrees.
Listen, the weekend, I got to tell you about something odd. Well, not odd, but just something that happened over the weekend.
What did you did?
At our house, my nephews, Nick and Drew, the twins, had their 13th birthday. And because, let's face it, if you're a member of my family, basically, anytime anybody needs anything,
you're the sugar daddy.
I'm the guy.
The guy.
And I don't, in this case, I don't mind because I love Nick and Drew, and I'm Drew's godfather.
They're very cute kids. I've had the pleasure of meeting them on several occasions. I like those kids.
The request was if they could borrow, if my sister and brother-in-law could borrow our house to have the birthday party because we have a pool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, this involved 24 12-year-olds and assorted parents coming over to the house on Saturday night, which in itself was fine because the kids were really not badly behaved, and I had a good time at the grill.
You were such a pushover.
I know.
Never again, when this idea first came down, and you were like, man, I'm going to have like 25 kids.
I know. I wasn't.
Did you cook?
I did.
You did everything.
Loved it.
You did everything you were told to do.
I did everything. You're right. I'm like
a
dog.
That's why you're still happily married.
I'm like a dog. But wait, hold on. I got an update about that, too. I might not be.
Oh, really?
That she, I won't even get into it. The many things that my wife dislikes about me.
Oh, no.
But what I wanted to call, hi, honey.
Hi, boo.
What I wanted to talk about was the fact that the funniest part of having these, the twins over and all the kids over at this party was the fact that they're not Jewish. Okay, they're whatever religion Robin and Bill are, but they've been to so many bar mitzvahs with so many of their Jewish friends Rob, I know you're shaking your head.
Sometimes, you know, he just materializes on certain subjects.
A coincidence. What the twins wanted was a bar mitzvah.
Well, they wanted a big party.
Go back to your corner.
Because they've been to so many different bar mitzvahs, and it's their opinion, and I share the opinion, that a bar mitzvah kicks the ass of a regular kid's birthday party.
We went to Alan Goodman's kid's bar mitzvah, and it was, without question, the best party for a kid. I mean, the best adult party for it. And I know, I don't mean, God, I can't express myself. It's Monday.
There weren't like strippers and whores.
No, the best party for parents and for grown-ups. Because, you know, they try to, I guess, do this incredible job for the adults as well as the kids. It was fantastic.
Well, and that was 15 years ago.
Right.
Imagine what they're like now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Frida sends me out on Saturday. I got a bunch of errands that I have to do. And one of the errands is to go to the store and to buy a bar mitzvah card that for each of the kids, the kind that you put money in.
Ah.
Okay?
It was a little joke.
Because they wanted a bar mitzvah.
It was a little joke.
So I go to the store, and I go to a CVS, and I go to a Hallmark store.
Right. And also, let me just stop you, baby. They're turning 13. If you insult their age, I don't think they'd be happy.
How old did I say?
We said a bunch of 12-year-olds.
13, that's a big
Well, I said that Nick and Drew turned 13, but that there were a bunch of 12-year-olds there. So I call her up and I say, I've been to two different places and I could not find any bar mitzvah cards that have the little slot for money. So what I did was, the only money cards that I could find, the cards that were actually formatted for you to put like a $50 bill in, mm-hmm. were Spanish. And they, for a 15-year-old's Spanish, you know, the angry Spaniard's birthday.
Right, right.
So I say to her, this is what I got instead of the bar mitzvah cards.
Right.
And she says to me, well, that's not right because the whole joke is that they want a bar mitzvah.
Right.
I said, but you told me to get the money card.
No, I told you to get the bar mitzvah money card.
And I was so I had to go to a third place.
No, and I said no. Well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. You got enough to do. Leave it alone. It'll just be dumb Uncle Mike's joke.
Yeah. It would be, you know, and that's how she was with me. She says,
"Now please mention you're mentioning your husband's real name as opposed to me." Right.
Yeah. My real name is Mike.
I always like to clear that up on the show, Frida.
She says, "Don't worry about it. It'll just be a joke, one of dumb Uncle Mike's jokes." Mm-hmm. So immediately, I know I got to go to a third store, so I go all the way to Reston, and I feel like such an idiot when I walk in, and I don't even bother going to the cards, because there's so many different cards now.
There are. I should have gone to White Flint.
I go to the, lady up front, and I say, hi, I need two bar mitzvah cards. And she says, well, they're right over there. I said, but I need bar mitzvah cards that hold money.
There's a name for them. There's a name for that. Not necessarily bar mitzvah cards, but there's a name for that money-holding kind of card. I forgot what it is.
And
you should know that.
It's a money-holding card.
The money-holding card.
I bet there's a better name for it. I bet you're wrong.
The lady says to me, frankly, those are becoming outdated.
Oh.
And I said, well,
news to me.
Tell me about it, because I was just at CVS.
I loved those cards. Growing up, I had an uncle, my uncle Bill Sheehan, who used to give us those cards at Christmas. Mm-hmm. There was nothing better. I look forward to that more than presents. It was great. He'd hand you the card, and you'd see the face, and you'd know how much money you're
getting. I was just at CVS. I was just at Hallmark. They don't have bar mitzvah cards that hold money. So the woman then, and this is where it gets embarrassing, on the PA, and I'm at the card store at Reston Sound Center.
Would someone please go to the back and see if we have bar mitzvah money cards?
Yeah.
Not regular bar mitzvah cards, but bar mitzvah money cards. Bar mitzvah money cards, please.
And then she says to me, step aside, please. Because I'm at the counter.
Did she do that with her hand like that? Did she move her hand?
Move from left to right.
Step aside, sir.
Step aside, please.
Like the lady in Meet the Parents at the airport.
So I'm now standing there like an idiot, and everyone that's coming by is looking at me. You know, this is the guy who can't just buy the bar mitzvah card.
Right, right.
This is the guy who has to buy the money bar mitzvah card.
Absolutely.
It'll be money.
You could put
money in any card, in theory.
True.
I can't believe that the money cards are out of date.
Well, no, they're not out of date. I talked to the Mom Network about this, and the story is that CVS and the little Hallmark store run out, but if you had gone to Safeway... And not as many people buy their cards in Safeway.
How was I to know?
Well, I'm really happy to hear that that's not like falling out of favor.
No,
all I know
so
is
in favor that they run out.
Ah. I'm standing there while these housefraus are buying their Beanie Babies and their dumb unicorn stationery and all the other stuff that they're buying. And while I'm waiting, a woman who works in the store comes up and
that's not related to the bar mitzvah, right? Beanie Babies?
Oh, no. Okay.
A little yarmulke joke.
Hey,
sorry. Sorry about that. I'm sorry.
You're close.
I thought it was innocent.
So I'm standing in front, and the lady comes up, and there's a line of still four people waiting, and I'm off to the side, and she says very loudly, "Who's the bar mitzvah money card person?" So I raise my eye over here. She comes over. I only have two different kinds. And I'm looking at it, and she puts them out. I said, "Yeah, those are fine." Mm-hmm. The ones that are right, I said, "I'll take those." She said, "You didn't even read it." And I said, "It's fine." She said, "They have different messages inside. Do you want to read them?" And then I made the sin.
Are the messages in Yiddish?
No. Then I made the sin of, and I should not have said this with people in front of me. I said, "Listen, I'll just take those because really, the kids that I'm buying them for, they're not even Jews. Mm-hmm. They just like bar mitzvahs.
Right.
And they want to have
friends. They
want to have a party like a bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So we're giving them a party that's not a bar mitzvah, but I want to give them money in the Jewish bar mitzvah card."
Right.
And the woman looks at me like I am out of my freaking mind and just says, "Here."
Mm-hmm.
And hands it to me.
"Here, ass."
Then I have to go to the back of the line. Even though I've been waiting this whole time, I got to go to the back of the line.
Exactly.
And I get the cards. And then the next job I have is to go to Home Depot and buy a carpet cleaner.
Like the machine?
Yeah, a machine.
Right.
So I go into Home Depot and I'm out of my element. You know, let's face it, I'm lucky I don't immediately just burst into flames when I walk through the door.
That's a scary store for me, too.
I'm so non-Home Depot-ish.
I was fired from a hardware store, so I don't like Home Depot.
I'm so non-do-it-yourself, I'm so non-labor that it's incredible. I walk in, and I spent maybe 10 minutes just walking around.
It's a store that also smells a lot like wood and Daddy B.O.
Yeah, and fertilizer.
And
I go to the part where it says cleaning, and I don't have what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So finally I grab one of the guys in the orange smocks, and I say,
"Hi, neighbor.
Hi, I'm looking for carpet cleaners." And the guy looks at me like I'm an idiot and says, "Aisle 12, like I should have known that.
Uh-huh.
Like I should have known. So I go to aisle 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any carpet cleaners.
Well, that's probably a compliment, my darling. You look like you belong there.
So I don't see any carpet cleaners.
Home Depot would have you believe that they would, like, turn you on to the man that used to own his own carpet cleaning business and now works at Home Depot.
So now I see the same guy walking down the aisle.
Sometimes.
And I say, and I'm waiting for my specific guy. I say, "Hi, remember me? I'm here. Aisle 12, no carpet cleaners." And the guy just goes like this with his finger. He gives me the "come with me."
Mm-hmm. The index finger, not the middle finger.
No, right. He just says, points like this, doesn't say a word. Takes me down roughly 20 yards to the end of the aisle where I've not looked. Mm-hmm. And there on display is every kind of carpet cleaner
mm-hmm.
you could imagine buying.
Right.
And he says nothing to me. He just turns and walks away.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And again, once again,
every kind of carpet cleaner from those particular manufacturers that signed their deal with the devil with Home Depot.
Right.
I don't want to slam Home Depot.
I
love Home Depot.
I feel like a dope because the guy has told me the aisle to go to.
Uh-huh.
Then I didn't bother to walk all the way down the aisle.
Right.
It's like they had some carpet cleaning stuff, some solution that you put on the rug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I didn't see the actual machines themselves.
The machines.
So I called him back over, and then he just, you know, give me the "come this way," you know, right here, and turns and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea which one to pick.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. So I think, well, Hoover, that's a name I've heard of.
Sure.
Hoover, I'll buy the Hoover thing.
Can't mess with the Hoover.
Now, I realize as I'm picking up this gigantic box that there's no way that I can carry this all the way up to the line, the incredible lines.
How come you didn't get a shopping cart?
At Home Depot. Well, because I'm a dummy.
Or were you in Home Depot, you can get the flatbed little, you know, cart.
Yeah, the six-wheeler.
So now, here's the deal. I've been in aisle 12 now for almost 10 minutes. And there's a shopping cart at the end of aisle 12.
Uh-oh.
And there are items in the shopping cart, but there's nobody with the shopping cart.
Does it look like it could be a shopping cart that's being used for stocking?
I don't know. There are a couple of
belong to someone.
Well,
just be abandoned.
I'm going to get to that. I think it's abandoned. So I'm lifting this box up, and I'm realizing I'm going to give myself a hernia if I try to carry this thing all the way. And I think now I don't want to go all the way back to the front of the store.
That's the real reason
to get a shopping cart.
Right.
So there's one right at the end of the aisle. So what I do?
There's one with somebody's stuff in it.
I go. Now I've been in this aisle 12 for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. So you think there's a very good chance that the person who had it had fled,
has abandoned it.
Yeah. Is that real time or you time?
No, honey. Real time. Real time. Not like me exaggerating.
Like you tapping your foot three times. All right, I've been here for 10 minutes.
No. 10 minutes because, first off, keep in mind, I spent 5 minutes walking up and down the aisle and not seeing the goddamn things.
I should throw out that at Home Depot, you do have also the chance that somebody has put their cart somewhere, and then they're talking to a consultant, either picking out, like, cabinets or carpet samples. You know, you have people that go away from their carts for a sustained amount of time.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I'm not the Home Depot expert.
Right.
So I was there for 5 minutes looking for the things. Then I called the guy over. He showed me where they were. I took another 5 minutes sizing them up and deciding which one I'm going to get. So I pull the box out, and I realize, wow, this is a big, heavy box.
Right.
I see the shopping cart at the end of the aisle.
Did you take the person's stuff out of the shopping cart?
Well, here's what I did. I take the, there were two shelves, two white shelves.
Right.
That I took out of the cart and just put on the shelf with the other, you know, out of wherever they came from. And a couple of bags of nails and like a little teeny can of paint.
It's like Bluto's cart.
as soon as I put the stuff on the shelf and I wheel the cart down, this guy comes around the corner and goes, "Hey, excuse me.
Hey!
That's
you bastard!
That's my cart." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. It had been sitting there for 10 minutes, and I thought it was just a cart someone had walked away from." And the guy said, "No, it's my cart." And I said, "Well, I apologize." And I walked back towards where the cleaner was, now sitting in the middle of the aisle, this gigantic box with this carpet cleaner. And the guy says to me, "Aren't you going to put the stuff back in my cart?" Now, there are two shelves that are about this. How big is that?
18 inches, 24 inches?
Yeah. 2 feet. Huh. And
did you just walk over and kind of like roll it to him and start walking back in the other direction?
No, what I did was, that's exactly what I did. When he said, "That's my card," I went, "Oh, excuse me." And I, you know, shoved it his way. And then he got the card and he said, "Excuse me. Aren't you going to replace the items?"
So the guy's pissed at you.
In my cart.
So the guy wouldn't have said that unless he had a little attitude.
And I said, "If you want me to." And he said, "Yes, I would." So I walked down the aisle, and then I took the two shelves.
Right.
And I put the shelves in his cart, and I put the two little boxes of nails in his cart.
Then you just shoved the cart back at him?
And a teeny tiny bottle of jar of paint that he had. Right. And he said to me, "Thank you." And I said, "You're welcome." I said, "I'm sorry. I thought that it was just a junk thing that someone had left around." And he said, "Incidentally, when you took the items out, you should have put them back where they came from."
Oh, now he's going.
Now, this is just some guy who's a shopper.
Yeah, well, he's busting your chops from his luck.
Some guy who's a shopper.
He's busting balls.
And I said to him, "I don't necessarily agree." I said, "Have you never been in the grocery store and you realize you've picked something up that you really don't want, and you're like, five aisles away, mm-hmm. and you just shove it on a shelf somewhere else.
Yeah, there may be 700 employees that can take care of that.
But you look around to make sure nobody's seeing this.
The guy says to me, I've never done that. And I said, well, then you're a better man than I am. And he said, I sure am.
Oh, F him. Now that's way.
And I swear to God,
a fight?
I swear to God, that's a quote. I said, well, then, you're a better man than I. I sure am. And he just pushes his cart away.
What a dick.
He's like, F you, F ball.
What a dick.
So, you know, I come home and my wife gives me two simple tasks.
You've had a trauma.
Get two bar mitzvah cards and go to Home Depot and buy a carpet cleaner. And I come home and I said to her, I said, this is why I don't like to leave the house.
Right.
This is why I like just barricading myself in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything that I need, I'll order it on the internet and let it be delivered to me.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
But because
when I'm moving to that area, too.
In both cases, and you know, I guess it was my fault in both cases, I ended up feeling like an idiot when all I was really doing was just trying to buy items and stay out of people's way.
Right.
And just get the stuff and get in and out as fast as I possibly could, which leads me to when I mentioned the stuff about putting the stock on the shelf in a different spot. Last night, my wonderful wife, and it will be 21 years next August, I'll mention, we've been married.
Coming August?
Yes. We are into our third decade of marriage together.
Right.
Last night, she was discussing with me some of the things about me she doesn't like.
Hmm.
And we have these discussions every once in a while.
It's trust good. Me, don't forget.
It's good that she does that.
Yeah,
I think that's good that she lets you know.
I can't tell you how much I enjoy the discussions and how invaluable I find them.
Well, I use it like a work analogy. If you have a problem at work and you discuss it before it's a major problem and it gets handled, then it's not a major problem.
So there's a couple of things she brings up that she doesn't like about me. And I said, okay, I don't necessarily disagree. I said, but do you realize that even with whatever it is that I'm doing that you want me to modify, whether it's, you know, to be more open to going out with people that I don't know, whatever it is, to not being an a-hole when you ask me to watch Gosford Park. I said, do you realize that at the end of the day, I'm still going to be the type of guy who occasionally will throw a soda pop can out the window of my car? And she said, why would you do that?
Why is that?
And I said, because sometimes I do. I'm just telling you that at the end of the day, no matter how you try to mold me, I'm still me. And what you're getting right now is very close to the best possible version of me. That if I make these small changes that you've asked me to work on, you're going to be getting, and I spoke of myself in third person, I said, you're going to be getting the very best mic source that there is. And I'm telling you right now that even that version,
mic source, yeah, that's what made me curious. Occasionally have to throw a can out the window.
And this is what I said to her, I'm being honest with you, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but that didn't answer the question.
And I said, and what was the answer? Because I'm lazy. Because sometimes I just feel like it.
Yeah. And then we got sidetracked.
Then she really starts busting my balls, and she says, well, that is embarrassing. I don't know.
Don't you think that's embarrassing? I mean, I'm embarrassed to be married to someone who
drinks a can. I don't know if, you know, wow, that's awful. Embarrassing. And I'm laughing, and I'm saying, we're talking about throwing a can out the window.
Let me ask,
and I don't
ask
do
your
it
buddies.
All
how
the
many
time.
Of them do that?
But every once in a while, I'm guilty. I do it. I throw garbage out the window.
Do the other guys occasionally throw a can out the window?
Mike?
Yes.
Buzz?
No.
Rob?
Yeah. With great relish.
All right, there's two out of the three.
Not a can necessarily as much as an empty McDonald's cup.
Thank all right, you, same difference.
And Rob wouldn't do it, and Buzz wouldn't do it.
No,
and Rob said he would.
No, Rob relish. Said he would do it with great relish.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But the animals can eat the relish.
Well, I,
And they can eat the cups.
I have to think
what? Animals, squirrels can actually live on, squirrels, squirrels can live. The only thing that, if the straw is in the holder, the straw will never go away.
So she says to me, she says,
yeah, but you know, I give you a pass on the occasional cigar butt thinking it's organic. And you told me the squirrels make their homes out.
That's why another one of my brilliant ideas would solve this problem. We wouldn't even be having this discussion. One of my ideas that the car companies refuse to implement, which is the in-car trash compactor.
Well, I need it, Mike. I need it.
Thank you, Rob. I knew you'd like it. I knew you would think it was brilliant.
It is good. She said to me, why would you drive along the road and throw your can out the window? I said, well, because I'm thinking I want the inside of the car to be clean. I'm done with the beverage. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I'm going to roll down the window.
There ought to be a little hole.
Chuck it out.
There ought to be a little hole in your car. A convenient. Yeah, we have cup holders, don't we?
Yes.
Why don't we have a little hole? Just a little hole so that when you're done with whatever, you just take your right hand and you shove it in a, you know, one of those little, it maybe has those little rubber feet that hold the cups, but there's a hole there, and you just shove the garbage right down into the hole, and then with the battery or the engine of the car, there's some sort of processing that makes this little package, and that when you take your car to the car wash to have other people wash it for you, they empty it.
They take it up beautiful.
They empty it. It's a standard thing.
Let's patent the idea.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
My darling, would you ever take your car over by some deserted area and just clean it out and dump everything?
I have done that, yes.
Would you ever do that again?
Yes.
Your car is immaculate. Is it because...
You would do that
That's why it's
again.
Immaculate.
Is it because as soon as you finish...
I got to call my lawyer.
Not always. Not always, Mike, but occasionally, yes. I have been known to go to a dump or an area where they're building homes or something.
Can I call you right back? I'm on the air with my darling. All right.
Who is that, Mama?
It's Grandma.
Mama.
Mama.
So this discussion that we had yesterday started as a discussion about...
Okay. Hey, darling.
Yeah.
Grandma wants to know where the keys to your old Mustang are.
They're in the kitchen cabinet, in the kitchen drawer.
Kitchen drawer. Did you look in that kitchen drawer next to the stove?
The drawer all the way on the right.
All four of them.
All the way on the right.
All the way on... Yeah, no, right. Wait a minute. Darling, she looked in all four of those drawers.
Well, I can't help her, though.
Well,
I'm sorry, that's the last place.
That's the place we thought they were. Yeah, well, I don't know where else. Okay, I'll call you back.
Hang up on your mother, please.
Hot wire it.
All right, she's just trying to help you.
Okay, so this starts with a discussion. The discussion last night begins with the talking about my son's college money.
Ah.
And then... somehow we get from my son's college money to my semi-annual critique of all of the things that my wife doesn't like about me.
Well, let's add, don't know where your keys to your old Mustang are to that list now.
I get this like twice a year where I get the sit down where she says, I don't like this and this and this and this and this about
you. Is it reciprocal? Do you go back and forth?
Oh, no.
No.
So
I'm taking notes. You know,
We go around and around on this, and then finally I say the thing to her about, right now you're getting me, as far as me being as good a guy as I can be and living my life the right way and making sure that if you want to watch Gosford Park that I don't roll my eyes.
You did roll your eyes.
But I'm working on it. I said I'm 80% there. I'm 80% there. What happens when you get that next 20%? And you ask me to watch a dumb movie like Gosford Park, and I don't roll my eyes, and I just say, honey, I'd love to because it's a movie you'd like to see, and I sit there through it with you, and you get to that point, and when you're getting me, the 100, me 10.0, my concern is that it's not going to be good enough for you. Because
that's my concern, too.
So then
she's not yielding.
We get to the part about the can out the window.
Uh-huh.
And that is where the discussion really takes off. And that's where she throws in the R
mushrooms,
word.
If you will.
Pardon me?
Does it mushroom into something big?
Yes, it does. Because then she throws in the R word, respect. She says,
well, it's hard to respect a man who throws his cans out the window.
She says, I can't respect any man who would throw a soda can out the window. And I said...
Yeah, she got a point with the can.
And I said, oh, shut up. I said, if that's the case, I'm guilty. And you might as well start looking for your next husband, because even when I'm getting my semi-annual lecture about what a dick I am, even if I fulfill all of these things, I'm telling you, and you don't even know it, but there are going to be times that I throw garbage out the window of my moving vehicle.
That just makes no sense. The other things, rolling your eyes, that kind of makes sense. If it's not your cup of tea, it'd be nice if you didn't. But being too lazy to do that just seems ignorant, and you're not ignorant.
Not throwing garbage out the window is better than your wife throwing you out of the house.
That's true.
Well, I will give you that.
Yeah.
And I could certainly get away, you know, as I said to her, get away with throwing garbage out the window, and you never know it. I'm just telling you that even when you peel away all of the layers of you know, the perfect man you want me to be, at the core is still a guy who occasionally is going to throw a Diet Cherry Coke can out the window.
Only one thing I disagree with.
What?
The word occasionally.
Oh, yeah?
Regularly.
No, really not. Really not.
Well, that's good.
I'd say...
It depends on your definition of occasional and regular.
Out of 5 days
weekly?
Out of the week... Oh, yes.
I was going to say,
out of 5 days a week, at least one day a week, I do it. Yes.
That's regularly.
Regularly.
I guess I'm like Clinton. It depends how you define the word regularly.
Yeah.
But I would say yes, at least
so
once
that
a
is,
week.
What that would tell me would be that is your primary method of cleaning your car.
Well, I got to find something better and bad to do occasionally that I might enjoy. That'll turn into once a week.
Well, but it would have to be the same degree, and I don't think that's
about
a serious
the lowest
offense.
That is so low because.
So are you telling me that you would be less upset if I was banging some other girl?
No, I'd be more upset, but I would understand it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the queer duality of my wife.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just don't understand the other. I would think it was reprehensible, but I would understand. I mean, why you just don't leave it in your car?
So you're telling me it's okay to bang other chicks, but it's not okay to throw a can out the window.
Did I say it was okay?
No, she said it was reprehensible.
Yes, thank you, Buzz. You listen better and you're neat.
Thank you.
Hold on. Hi, Mom. Oh, okay, great. Thanks.
Tell her to stop calling.
She found the key.
Ah.
Where were they?
I got off so quickly, like you command my master.
Hey.
All right, honey. So anyway, that's my weekend. And once again, I'm now on the new six-month plan of working.
And now I'm even more depressed. Now, wait, do we have... Because I didn't know it was a once a week.
Working on the...
I thought it was an occasional...
Honey, listen, and this is why I get so pissed off at her. In the big scheme of things, if I'm a good guy, if I'm a loyal, loving husband, and I'm doing the best I can, why are you busting my balls about something that you don't even know that I do?
You brought up the can. I just find that... Because you're such a smart man, and that, I think, is really dumb. I have a hard time respecting that.
Is it not? Oh, okay, agree. How do you know that Albert Einstein didn't throw garbage out his window?
Do you have a litter bag in your car?
No, I don't.
I'll buy you one.
I don't like litter bags. I don't. I like...
Excuse me.
I like a clean car.
You know what? I'm just going to put a can in your car a day just to punish you.
You know, I have some of my cups... With the various fast food meals that I find myself, that's my regular dinner now. What I find is that I leave them in there so long because they actually kind of get soggy at the bottom.
Yeah.
See, that's why you got to just throw them out the window right away.
Right on. I'm going to do that.
God.
Right
away.
But anyway, so the discussion goes from my kids' college money to the semi-annual discussion. And I will say, in deference to my wife, that the discussion of what a dick I am is smaller now. Every year, the discussion of me being a jerk, the items get smaller and smaller.
And I have to give you props right here, too, baby, because when I tell you something that makes me unhappy, you don't say you're messed up or you're screwed up or that's your problem. You say, you're right, I'll work on that.
I just threw a can on the floor.
You did, Mike.
That's better than throwing it out the window.
I just normally I toss it into the trash can, my little Diet Cool Nestie, but I threw it on the floor of the studio. I can't stand it. I must go pick it up.
So the list that I got this year, my semi-annual list, only had one or two items on it.
That's great.
You know, like, don't be such a dick with Gosford Park.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and
be more, you know, with the whole stuff with people. Be more social with people.
So you're doing better. Your review, your biannual review, you did very, very well.
Yeah. Get out and meet more people, blah, blah, blah. Don't
mean that in a sexual way.
Don't want to barricade yourself in a house, all the usual stuff.
Right.
And then we get to this part about throwing a can out the window.
Right.
And I mean, that's when it escalates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when...
Yeah, you were doing good before you opened your mouth and told me that.
Mm-hmm. So she has a thing about it. I know a lot of people that have a thing about
well,
it.
Well, honey, you're going to have to deal with it.
And it's a thing about littering.
If it's a deal breaker, it's a deal breaker. But I'm telling you that I do it, and damn it, I'm going to continue to do it.
And somewhere in the internet
is
crying.
Yeah, and I, wouldn't you be embarrassed if someone told you, hey, I saw your kid throw a can out the window, and you said yes a little bit?
And what did I say? I said I would be embarrassed for about 2 seconds,
but
and then I would realize... In the
do you do it in front of people? Do you do it, like, in daylight?
Yeah.
Like, if their car's in back of yours?
No, I'm always alone.
Right.
I'm always alone.
Do you do it in your neighborhood?
No, not anymore, because my wife...
Because he drinks Diet Cherry Coke, and there's only one person on the street drinking Diet Cherry Coke. It's humiliating.
So I don't.
And then Bart and I would both give you grief about it.
I don't find them in my neighborhood anymore. I don't throw them in my neighborhood anymore.
But as soon as you're 5 seconds out of the neighborhood,
someone else's neighborhood.
Yeah, right, out the window, boom.
Right.
Yeah, and then we expanded our walks to go up the street that you take to work, and we'd find them up there. And I think you had to make your parameter. It's like, you don't poop in your den if you're a dog.
Honey, listen, all I know is that I think I'm a pretty great guy. And I think you're pretty lucky to have me as a husband. And I think that you should just back off in your semi-annual dissertation as to everything that's wrong with me.
You brought up the can thing yourself. That wasn't even on my list.
Oh, all right.
That'll be on next year's list.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Hey, but that's
a big X.
At least you're looking at the next year.
And
you guys should be happy about that.
All right, sweetie.
That's the way I look at it.
I love you. I'll see you later.
All right?
I love you, too.
Oh, and you know what she got mad at me about?
What?
Here's what else she got mad at me about. After we had the 24 kids and all of the strange parents over at the house,
sure.
And I did all the cooking.
It'd be nice if you threw in a little, you know, well, maybe there will be a next year for you, Mike, you know, instead of, you know, continuing.
Mike, I'm sorry.
You can throw that in.
I'm wrapped
you're
up
swimming
in
the English Channel of you. Okay, go ahead.
I'll give you a moment.
Thank you very much. Just throwing in there, you know.
Mike, there will be a tomorrow for you.
Thank you, Don. All right, go continue, please.
So.
That's all I needed.
I'm doing all the cooking, and I'm doing everything that's requested of me. I'm being social to people.
Good.
I'm actually introducing myself to people. I'm saying hello. And as the people are leaving, we're standing on the deck, and I put my arm around my wife, and I say, so, how'd I do tonight?
You do that all the time.
And she got pissed at me.
Really?
But really, you're not a little boy. It wasn't your bar mitzvah.
Yeah, but all I know is that you used to get pissed at me all the time. You used to say, you're not outgoing, you're sullen, you don't enjoy being with other people. And here I am opening my house to your sister and her husband and their kids and 24 other kids and Sue Ann and all the others. And I'm doing all the freaking cooking.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing everything. And all I want at the end of the day was a... attaboy.
Good boy. Good little boy.
That's all I'd like.
I don't like feeling like your mother. You were a nice, normal man.
You're not my mother.
But, oh, then when you ask me to...
But you bust my balls so much about stuff all the time. On the occasion that I do something correctly, I'm coming to you for some affirmation.
I have a feeling this doesn't sound like a healthy marriage.
Wow. Yeah, you just tapped into one that was part of my former.
What do you mean?
Well, I'd come to my ex for the, you know, hey, this a similar type of thing. How about a little thank you? And that, it's a similar thing. I don't think it's unique to any kind of marriage when you say, you know, you want the pat on the head and you know, and my wife would say a similar thing. You know, you're not a kid. I mean, it's that kind of, I think many men, when they do something, they want, you know, they go and ask for, hey, did I do a good job here?
Right.
And then the woman doesn't like that.
Well,
I'm not sure why that is.
The woman and say, hey, nice job.
Hold on. I disagree. I do say to you constantly.
Do I say to you, did I do okay talking to people?
That's honey, pitiful. Is it not true that I am unsociable, that I am an introvert, that I do have to work? Seriously, I have to work at being nice with people? I do.
Not with us. Thank goodness.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the 21 years we've been married, I would really, when people were over, I would hide upstairs.
Right.
Yeah. I would go upstairs and hide.
Yeah, but I thought you got by that a long time ago.
I know, but this was different. This was different because this was 24 kids running around, traipsing through the house, turning on stuff
they outside,
turning on stuff they shouldn't have turned on,
you're exaggerating, and I understand you do that for entertainment.
I didn't
purposes.
Yell at any of the kids. I didn't yell at any of the parents.
Oh, thank goodness.
And all I'm saying is, at the end of the day,
yeah, okay. If you need a pet,
what's wrong with me standing next to you, put my arm around you, and go, so
I'll
did
say
I
that.
Do okay?
Congratulations on being normal. Very good.
All
you'd
right.
You'd handle being normal real well.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
All right, I'll try and remember.
Listen, you gave me the list yesterday. That's my list.
I just said I'm making a note. Congratulate husband when he's normal.
Thank you. All right. Love
very
you.
Good. I'll congratulate you every day. You don't come home, you say, honey, I didn't throw a can out the window. I said, congratulations on being normal. Welcome home, baby.
All right, I love you.
All right, sounds like. Bye. Love you, too.
Bye.
The state of the marriage is sound.
It is.
You guys always do this.
Yeah.
You'll do this forever.
I know we will.
You'll do this forever.
It is just a bitch. I mean, not her. I mean, the
situation.
The situation.
I don't think you're alone. You know?
No.
I don't think you're alone.
Mike, how are you?
I'm getting along well with my estranged. We're doing, well, we had, my daughter's, fifth birthday party. My other daughter just turned 7 and Elizabeth turned 5. And so we had the whole family and, outside of me leaving my, oversized beverage on the seat at the bowling alley where we had the party and, my father-in-law knocking it over. And then it's like, well, you shouldn't leave it on the seat, you know.
All right, and you can't say anything to him.
I want to thank the lady at the bowling alley, too, when I asked for an extra half hour of bowling lane time. And she said, come back when it expires. And then when I came back, her back was turned as her either husband or manager explained to me why they couldn't give us one half hour of time.
Oh, right.
As I looked at her and she was kind of, you know, when somebody's looking over the shoulder, you know, one of these deals, it's like, so I just like to say, well, F you. F you, AMF Centerville.
I know we got a break, but I have two questions here. First, to our screeners in the back room, why would you screen a call like this for me? Hello, Donna, Mike.
Don?
Yes.
Are you ready for the help that you obviously need?
Now, why would you screen a call that says, I need marriage counseling?
Oh, dear.
No. No.
I've been listening to the...
You, sir, I am telling you right now, that can do no good.
And I'm telling you, listen, how long have you been listening to the show?
I'd say since I had a 8-hour membership card, I guess it was.
Yeah.
So you've been listening a long time.
Long time.
Are you a psychologist?
I'm a family legal attorney.
Oh, yeah, you're a family legal attorney. And you know what? Excuse me. Give me a moment here. Let me tell you what I think. I think that family attorneys and counselors are in cahoots.
Yeah.
I think they are definitely, there is a conspiracy afoot where family counselors and family attorneys, they hang out together.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a hostile position here.
Yes, well, Mike got screwed over by a family counselor.
I think it sucks.
Well, there's good and bad in every profession.
Well, I think listen, frankly, if you, it's just my opinion, if you are a marriage counselor or you're a family counselor, that you should not be involved with attorneys. I think those are two. I think attorneys come in when a situation is beyond repair.
See,
and I think the person that's counseling should not direct you towards attorneys.
But
I think
that's cool.
I think that's very bad. I feel very strongly about that.
Ideally,
and conjurer,
right.
Satan, villain.
And I say F you that I've been married to the same woman for almost 21 years, and we have these discussions all the time.
But here's the thing.
How have we been able to hold this marriage together, sir?
Well, you have to ask yourself, is it being held together under stress or under a positive situation?
And is it possible that you're listening to a radio show that is entertaining. And is it possible? And is it possible that you, and I'm surprised that you don't know this, being a licensed whatever it is that you are, you don't realize that this is not actually a counseling session.
Right.
That perhaps I'm telling these stories in a way to one-on-one with my audience that they can relate to, and that perhaps even my wife is in on the gag. Do you think that's entirely possible?
I think there's a basis there, but the can is symptomatic.
Hold on, asswipe.
The can is symptomatic. No.
Do you think that family counselors and attorneys should be in cahoots?
I don't think they should start that way, but they often end up that way.
The can... Hold on, I just want to get the can is symptomatic?
Of what?
Of other issues that you...
Hello?
Honey.
I was talking to my mother.
Listen, I know, but listen, seriously now, let's drop the radio act for a second.
What?
I've got an asswipe counselor on the phone.
Yes.
Says he's an attorney, not a counselor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's
a family attorney.
What does he want?
An attorney. Well, he says the can is symptomatic of bigger problems.
No, that's, well, okay, maybe if that's so, but I have had that gripe with you for 20-whatever years, and if it's symptomatic, it's not going away.
And for this guy's edification, would you let him in on the joke that when you say stuff like, oh, we're going to have to get a lawyer, that you're kidding?
Well, when I said yes, I'll call a lawyer, that's kidding. But about the can, that's serious. I do not like that. Don't do that.
All right, sweetie.
I think there's room there for some assistance here.
From a lawyer or
I don't believe this guy. I hate doing this. I do this with everybody.
That's
that
the only assistance we need.
Doesn't
we
seem like I do that with everybody who calls a buzzball.
A lot, but
we need like,
often right.
We need like Greenpeace or the Nature Conservancy to call
I think Frieda is asking, more often than not, many times she's reaching out for some help.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to reach out and punch you in the nose.
God, why would you have
I reach out for change all the time, and most time I reach out for actual bills because the change doesn't get you very far.
Listen, I got news for you, douchebag. I've been married 21 years to the same woman. Can you mark that excellence? Can you match that?
Personally, no.
Oh, all right, well then F you.
But experience is what I can replace.
But no.
Well,
Have you been successfully married to the same woman for going on 21 years?
Well,
the answer is no.
I have to tell you, after doing this for over 30 years, I don't see a whole lot of successful marriages past 20 plus years.
Then I would have to say that ours is a success since we have made it past 20.
Well, look at my parents. And if you want to hear a couple that has, a certain amount of little things that they would like the other to be different, any couple's like that, but they've been married 60 years.
See, what you have to remember is that successful marriage is defined by our parents' generation.
You know what? Here's what I'd say to you. Successful marriage is really, and Mike, I'm sorry.
Put his head down in
Mike,
sort of depression.
Mike, please don't be depressed. I'm just yelling at this guy.
When is this guy going to get off the lawn?
Listen, successful marriage is defined by how long you're together. And I've been married to the same woman for almost 21 years. You have not. So I'm more of a marriage expert on how to keep a marriage together than you are.
Darling, let me tell my real philosophy on marriage. I have things that I wish my husband would do differently. I have things that I wish my mother and my father and my sister would do differently. They're my family. My husband is as much of my family as anyone in my family. I love him for his pros and his cons, as he loves me for my pros and my cons. I'm not perfect either. If I divorced him to find the perfect man, I'd always be searching for something that doesn't exist.
There you go, genius.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Frieda.
What do you have to say to that, genius?
Frieda?
Yeah.
Frieda, you almost just made me cry.
You have to decide when the marriage has become an acceptable thing or a positive, looking forward to kind of thing.
And can I say this seriously, calmly to you? I find the fact that you offer counseling and you're an attorney, those seem to be conflicting interests.
He seems to be a man that encourages divorce among someone who does, a couple that doesn't want
to. I mean, and bottom line, if you're a family attorney, the simple fact of the matter is you make your money on people that are breaking up.
And I think if anyone here needs counseling, it's you, the guy on the phone.
No, he just needs business.
Why is there a problem with generating sales and revenue off of people that have problems.
There you go.
There's no problem with that. But there is a problem with somebody who is...
There
is somebody who says he offers counseling. If you really look at it, if you're going to make money, you make your money on people that are splitting up, so you would counsel them in that direction.
True. We have many times counseled people into not divorcing.
Oh, I'm sure
what a douchebag you are.
I'm sure you probably have a dossier.
How long have you been married?
Personally?
Yeah.
19 years.
19 years. Well, too bad you're not as good as me. Bye.
Douchebag.
No, the problem with it, what he said was he generates sales. Mm-hmm. If someone comes to them wanting a divorce, that's one thing. He's generating sales.
It's just weird that he's a counselor and, first of all, I don't buy it. I don't think he can do, I don't think you're legally able to do
it. All he knows is he's an F-ball. Yeah. Hey, where did your mom find the keys?
I still have not had a chance to ask her.
All right, honey.
Someone keeps calling me.
All right. Love you.
I love you, too.
I'll try not to throw a can out the window today.
Oh, that makes me... If you could just... that makes me very happy.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try.
The earth thanks you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
If only she could see that smirk on your face. We could say you'll try. Which means that you'll be 5 seconds out of the parking lot and a can will be hurled.
Probably full. I'll try, Mike.
I'll be full can.
I'll try. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Unopened.
Let's get a call 100. And see if we can give away $10,000 today.
All right.
With the celebrity burp, the jackpot keeps getting smaller.
Yes.
Which means we're going to start giving more clues.
Very good. I'm excited about that.
Today it's worth 10 grand. Be the 100th caller, and good luck, you animals.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sometimes it's hard.
Genitalia, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, hold on. Where's that table you sat on? Are you stupid or something? I don't think that we can actually...
Are you stupid or something?
Comment on the situation. However, you should know that the New York Spring Arbotron ratings came out today.
Arbotron.
The actual ratings book itself came out today, and
CD's going crazy.
Our show sounds fine to me.
Sounds normal.
The Rubik's Cube. Our show. Let me turn that off. Our show went 0.8
right
to 1.1
right,
which is up something that he had never done before.
That's right. True.
And the only demo that I'm able to pry out of anybody is men 18 to 49, 2.0 to 2.5.
Okay.
Which would put us in 15th place.
Okay. All right. So technically, there is, while not setting the world on fire, there is forward motion, and that's what we were looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let it be known for the record that our last book in New York, including the month that they took us off the air.
Right.
We finally turned the corner.
That's good. That's good.
We finally turned the corner, but now it don't...
It's bittersweet, Don. Yes. Bittersweet.
It don't matter, Mike.
No.
It don't matter.
Don't matter nothing.
Listen, we're going to get a call 100, and then we're going to talk to Nick Smothers, who's going to be taking the sex quiz today.
Oh, fantastic. I love the Smothers Brothers way back when.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello, speak to us.
I am caller 100.
Yes, hi. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Matt.
Hi, Matt. Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
All right, I give you a choice. You can either have a bag of meat or M&M tickets.
Bag of meat.
Oh, meat.
Man, I love the bag of meat.
You'll want a $50 gift certificate the same way for a bag of meat.
A bag of meat.
From America's beef producers, beef.
Excellent.
It's what's for dinner.
$50 gets you a nice tenderloin.
Oh, yeah. Now, here you go. You're going to play for $10,000.
That's serious money.
With a celebrity burp. All you got to do is tell us who it is. Please don't answer till Mike sings like
God.
Yeah, for whatever bitter end wanted.
Yes.
Here we go. And we wish you a Godspeed.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
There it is, strong, powerful. And you don't have any idea exactly what it is that bitter end is requesting of you?
Here we go.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Cool. Was that it, Buzz?
That's it. Really?
That's
pretty close. No, it's not.
Okay, for 10 grand, who is that?
I just burp.
Is it William Shatner?
William Shatner. No. We're sorry.
Negative. It is not William Shatner. Thank you, and don't forget that every guest is a clue for you. Clue for you. Thank you.
I think I burped after Shatner burped.
Joining us now on the line.
Oh, yeah. Remember this theme?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, everybody, say hi to the great Dick Smothers. Frankly, my favorite of the Smothers brothers.
I love Dick Smothers.
Hi, Dick.
Howdy.
Hi.
How are you guys?
You guys are great. I mean, I you know, it's... I think you really find, when it comes to the Smothers brothers, it can be, at times, love-hate, and I'm one of the Smothers brothers lovers. I love the Smothers brothers.
Dick?
Sour, love-hate, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm the one that Tommy claims mom liked best, but that's a lie. I'm the younger one.
Yeah.
You are the younger of the two, aren't you?
Yeah, but a lot of people think I'm older, and it upsets me because I work out, and he eats meat and drinks and smokes.
but you're both still in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah, we're still moving, that's for sure.
There you go.
Tommy looks pretty good, but his personality is like that of a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, he's just a killer. He's tough.
Let me get a plug in here first that Tom and Dick Smothers brothers at Wolf Trap. That's Wednesday night, July 17th, and we'll give you a longer plug in a second.
And also with the Kingston Trio, though, who without their success, so many acts wouldn't be around today.
That's right.
Absolutely. I'm going to be 44 very soon, which means back in 1969, I was 10 and 11. And the reason that I loved the Smothers Brothers was my dad hated you.
Oh, that's a good reason.
It was one of those things where one night when you guys come on TV...
Your dad didn't like the Smothers Brothers.
My dad hated the Smothers Brothers.
Well, what you're saying is it's pretty... I get that from a lot of people.
That my dad... And there's no better way to get a kid into something than to say, this is awful and disgraceful, and what these guys are saying on their show is bad, and they shouldn't be allowed on television. Well, immediately, as soon as he turned it off, I went upstairs to the bedroom and turned it on, and goddamned if Smothers Brothers, and now you're talking back in the late 60s,
yeah.
They did stuff back in the day that pushed the envelope
as far
as you could push it back then.
And I know there is controversy. Dick, if you can give us just the brief nature of the Smothers Brothers history, where there was controversy, where you guys had the battle with CBS, and for you know, younger listeners of ours that might not know all about that, what was the deal with that?
Well, to set the stage, there was only three networks. Plus PBS.
Right.
So you only really cut the pie up three slices, instead of maybe 150 like it is today.
Right.
So being on a network was much more important back then. And it was the, we're at the scene of the accident, which was the emerging civil rights and our involvement in Vietnam.
Right.
And our show had political and social content. And they were getting letters from people, you know, if you got 200 letters, they went crazy if they were negative.
And you guys did a lot of anti-war stuff, right?
We did anti-war stuff. We did love, peace, brown rice, get the boys home,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff. But it was just seasoned. It wasn't like a Dennis Miller show. or something, you know, where you just totally rant and rave. And
but back in the day, it was the closest thing to a Dennis Miller show. It was the only type of show
right.
where you could hear an anti-war slant,
yeah,
where you right. could also be amused, and you knew what these guys were doing was irreverent, and it was even heightened by the fact that CBS, and I'm going to let you tell it your own way, but CBS, and a lot hasn't changed this day. We work for CBS today.
Right.
Not the best company to work for.
You don't even know who owns them anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do Viacom.
Yeah, we like them now.
For now.
Yeah, right. For now. But back in the day when you worked for CBS, what about the problems the network would put you guys through on a daily, weekly basis?
Oh, every week there was that we'd submit a script and they would say, well, you can't say this or you can't have that guest on. Pete Seeger can't sing Big Muddy. Everett Dirksen, who was a very high-profile senator back then, he was also a poet. We wanted him on the show to read poetry. They said, you can't do that. Of course, then it appears on Red Skelton Show. Joan Baez couldn't say something about her husband being in jail for protesting the war. Things like that on a daily basis. So it got to be, first of all, you know how hard it is to create a good show every week with no pressure. And so the writers started putting in stuff as red herrings. Try to get them something really obviously bad. I said, well, we'll trade you one of those for three of these. And it became so juvenile, actually.
I guess, but it had to be difficult to work under those circumstances.
Oh, it was. It was difficult. And Tommy was the heart and soul of the whole show. He was not listed as producer, but he was really the producer. He hired and fired and brought all those really talented people together that wrote the show. And he went to bed with it. He got ulcers. He just it was really hard on Tommy.
And I know how tough it is, but imagine behind the scenes now when you could look back and laugh at the morons at CBS where you would submit a script with a joke that was so over the top that you knew that they were going to immediately say, get rid of it.
Right.
But you're only doing it so that you can get the material in
that's great,
that
huh?
you really want to get in.
That is fantastic.
There was no guidelines written down. And that's like having a traffic code. You're driving here in D.C., and a cop pulls you over for whatever he thinks he wants to get you for. So, and you really want to be a law-abiding driver. You can't do it because you don't know what the rules are.
You don't know how familiar all of this is to
us
even today.
And by the way, we both, Tommy's the bleeding heart liberal. He, you know, he's really aggressively out there still. Right. And I'm more conservative, but we both agree there was a freedom of speech issue back there, and sure. no one wanted to help us with it because it wasn't trendy. And now we seem to be protecting freedom of speeches of issues today that aren't worth listening to in the first place. Yeah. I mean, you got Howard Stern. You know, I don't know anything about him personally. I'm probably on your network and all that.
Yes, he is.
The crap he puts on the show is not worth fooling around with. It's okay if you're a college freshman and you just moved away from home and you could talk about your genitals and what you drink and who you're sleeping with.
Well,
this is not good stuff.
Dick, I'll tell you, if you listen to this show, you might feel the same way about
it. No, you guys are intellectual.
Oh, thank you.
You're deep.
You know, write this down, everybody.
just wait.
Absolutely.
Wait until we give you our sex.
So the main thing is it doesn't matter what you say. Like Jerry Springer, you know, it's hard for him to go out and he's a wonderful guy. His show just happens to be a piece of crap. But he's a wonderful person, and once you know that, you accept it.
And how do you line up on the Dennis Miller? How do you like Dennis Miller?
I think he's brilliant. I think the guy, I think he has a lot of guts. He tried a lot of different shapes or suits of clothes till he found one that fit him.
And that's going to be a vacuum with him gone. I mean, now that he's leaving HBO.
I didn't know he's leaving it.
Yeah, he's leaving HBO. That's going to be a huge vacuum.
I think it would be great if you put him just like he is today in our old show, he would have his rants and raves, then we'd have singers, and then we'd have dancers, and then he'd do something ranting and raving. And see, that's basically the only thing he's lacking in his show is singers and dancers. It's an ass. I mean, then the show could be prime time.
And the only other thing that I'll tell you that I loved about the Smothers Brothers, it was my first introduction to Steve Martin.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He and also Rob Reiner wrote on the last year of the show. Mm-hmm. And Mason Williams, these guys have gone on. They're huge. They're way more talented than we ever hoped to be. But the heart and soul of the show was a man named Mason Williams. Yeah. He was the
Is that the guy who did Classical Gas?
Yes. He also wrote the Smothers Brothers theme. And he also wrote the most...
Is he the Smuckers guy?
No, you have Mason Adams.
Oh, Mason Smucker's guy.
Mason Williams had
Mother's Brother's theme, not the Smucker's theme.
Okay, right.
Mason Williams had a great poem about censorship that he did on the Smothers Brothers show that I picked
so
up there.
He
was brilliant.
What about the only other real Smothers Brothers TV show question I have for you is the time the Doors were on and they blew up their drum kit.
Yeah, that was a big problem there.
I'm very understated, Dick.
Yeah, what was the problem? Because they were in charge of putting the charge, but then the craft unions get involved. And they say, no, this is our job.
Oh, God.
So somehow there was 2 to 3 charges put in their drum.
Oh.
That everybody had their jurisdiction, you see.
That is too funny. So the thing went up pretty significantly.
It was funny because no one got hurt, but there was shrapnel. And Betty Davis was appearing on that show. It was a good thing she couldn't hear anyway. It almost blew the cigarette ash off her cigarette. Put a few more wrinkles in her face.
Think for a second.
She was just fabulous. She was a great, great lady.
Betty Davis, wow, that's a big
one. She loved my brother. She did a couple. Hey, they did a Tonight Show, Johnny Carson, and she was on. We were already on in the panel. We were sitting there. She came on, and Tommy said, hey, I really like you. Did you mess around? And she said, Tom,
I remember that.
She said, I'd love to mess around with you, but if I was 20 years younger and you were 20 years older, maybe we would get it on. But she did our show twice.
I do remember that from the Tonight Show.
Yeah, that was really a hoot. But Peter Townsend and the Doors, I think, lost some hearing from that. And that it could have been a disaster.
Wow.
That's just the anatomy of an accident. Too many people not knowing what the other person's doing.
Right.
What an avant-garde lineup. I mean, think about that. You turn on a TV show, and you talk about 30 years ago,
you have about
Betty
movie.
Davis and the Doors, on the same show.
Well, how about this? We had Kate Smith on the show twice. I think, what's your demographics? Is your audience old enough to remember?
They might not remember Kate.
Yeah, we're 25 to 54. They
well, she
Smith
was
is.
Bigger than Rosie.
Right.
And a lot more talented. And well, she had to be. If she could sing God Bless America, it became a number one song.
Yeah, she was
a fabulous singer, but she was quite overweight.
And I think all of our Philadelphia listeners will remember.
She was a wonderful talent and a great lady, and she was so gracious, but she drew the line at the skit we wrote for her.
Really?
Tommy played Stan Laurel, and she was to play Oliver Hardy. with a mustache.
She
said, I don't think I could do this.
That's not bad.
That's pretty funny.
All right, Tom. Tom, Dick Smothers. They are the Smothers Brothers.
It's the same acting trio. I mean, people that remember you guys from TV, they go out and see you guys live. It's going to be a modernized version of what you guys
that's
you,
right.
have always done.
It's like
done,
a couple relatives you haven't seen for a while that you still think are getting along great.
Show. I'm going to go see that show.
It's a wonderful show, and also the Kingston Trio opened the show. We actually fight. We wanted to open, because at this age, we want to leave whoever leaves earliest wins.
Tom and Dick, that's at Wolf Trap,
Kingston Trio, Smothers Brothers.
Wednesday night, wolftrap.org. Now, here you go. You said that we were smart and intelligent. Here's where we're going to prove that we're neither.
Yes, this is a quiz that has been taken by almost every celebrity that's been on this show.
Okay, it's the sex quiz, and you should
sex
know...
Quiz, this is a memory test.
Yeah, it is a memory
test. And you should know that we've taken it as well.
Can you remember that far back?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Let me ask you, Dick Smothers, have you ever had a three-way or group sex?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a yes. First answer, yes.
Have you ever had a sex with a woman while menstruating?
Me or her?
Her.
Yes.
Have you ever had a homosexual experience?
No. I'm American.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
Oh, yeah.
Dick Smothers, have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yes.
What a few yeses so far.
Have you ever gotten your jerk on in front of others?
How many others?
That's a yes.
One. Yes.
One is okay. I'm a Scorpio. I've done it all.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No.
I just want to say, so far, I think Dick Smothers is ahead of Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no?
What's that?
You know, where food comes out.
Oh, that's a rude thing, but yeah. I just not a very. I didn't have a good aim. That's all.
That's right.
Have you J-O'd today?
Oh. I was saving my energy for you guys.
Thank you.
After the show.
Three more questions, Dick. Have you ever had sex in a car?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
Yep.
And to the nearest 10, 50, 100, or 1,000, what do you estimate your total number of sexual partners to have been?
Can we round it up to hundreds?
Yes.
Hundreds is fine.
How many would you like?
Well, my memory doesn't go back that far, but I remember about 5 years in the business, I could recount 85.
85. Let's round it up to 100.
So I would say probably I slowed down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beans in the jar thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably in the hundreds.
Low hundreds.
Low hundreds. The low hundreds.
Well, memorable ones, not very much.
We'll say 120.
But most of the time when it was bad, it was me. I realized this through therapy.
Okay, so Bob's looking at the great Dick Smothers. How did he score on the sex quiz?
I couldn't be prouder. One of our highest scores. Dick Smothers had 10 yes answers and 120 partners.
Well, congratulations.
Can I say just a minute, though?
We're very proud.
I'm a new person because I am newly baptized, and that's an old life.
Gotcha.
Okay, and I had a lot of fun with it, but now I'm looking at it, so I don't know why.
Okay, no problem, Dick.
Dick, no lie, we love the Smothers Brothers. Wednesday night, wolftrap.org. They're appearing.
And I don't want a bunch of girls coming up. I'm too old, and there's no more hormones.
All right, don't worry about it. All right, thanks, Dick. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you guys.
All right, thank you.
Have a great time at the show.
Bye-bye. Now, the Smothers Brothers, back in the day.
Yeah.
They were in.
And it's one of those deals where they, you know, the type of act they do is they can make it contemporary. Because, I mean, it was always topical humor. And topical humor, you can update it. And I think it'd be a pretty good show. You know, the Kingston Trio. Yeah. No, thank you.
Don't think so.
Isn't that like the...
Isn't Steve Kingston in that group? Isn't it Steve Kingston?
Yeah, that's right. He comes out in a mouse suit.
And his wife. And Jack Diamond.
The one thing about the Smothers Brothers, they like that kind of music.
Yeah.
So they did that high hook. But I like
the whole folksy thing.
The whole thing I liked about the Smothers Brothers was when they'd stop down from singing.
Which they always do.
Do that shtick. Right?
That's the format. They'd sing, then they would stop the song and tell jokes.
The only other thing I would have told Dick, you know, Tommy, get rid of the yo-yo. You know, don't do the yo-yo stuff. I hate the yo-yo. And you know he'll do it at the show, right?
Oh, yeah.
He'll do Yo-Yo Man where he comes out with, like, the suspenders.
I hate the Yo-Yo Man, too.
I do not like Yo-Yo Man.
That's why I always
like
Dick better.
Exactly.
All right, well, our thanks to Dick Smothers. We got a break. We will be right back. Oh, how did it go with Mr. 40 and Dennis?
Yeah.
At the Poison Show this weekend.
You're going to get a really good dentist tape.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All is from New York City. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Speaking of the best of America as a lifelong Democrat, I have to say that the best of the best comes from the Don and Mike Show.
Philadelphia, Democrat. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Don and Mike.
All right, thanks. And our next call comes from Greenwich, Connecticut, Republican.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say that the worst thing in America today are special interest groups that are outrageous and have time to protest. How do these people have time to protest, first of all, if they hold jobs? And second of all, why are they not listening to the Don and Mike Show?
Oh, dude, thought you were sincere there for a minute. Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
These CDAs agree on only one thing.
Never forget. Never. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I would love to have a chance to guess the celebrity burp. All these guys keep getting it wrong.
Yeah, you know, there's a protocol for the celebrity burp contest, and if you wish to violate the protocol and just have your own chance, you have to...
She's there, Mike.
You have to put up.
She will not only put up a phone number, she's willing to come down and bare her teats.
Oh, wonderful. I don't know about that.
Well, now, that's what it says on the screen.
Well, no.
Well, then, no.
Here, I have a great idea. Here's what I could do. At first, I was thinking, well, maybe I could go on a date with Mike, since he's now available and single.
No.
Double date?
No. Listen. The only way you're going to be able to get a guest is to come down and show us your breasts.
What is the jackpot up to? Or I should say down to.
Well, wait, before we go down this road, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Yeah.
Well, me or my double date candidate. My double date candidate.
No, never mind.
No, goodbye. Goodbye.
Too much trouble.
Goodbye.
Whore. Impatient. Me first, whore.
Wow.
You see? Undouchable C. Joining us now. A couple of guys who went to see Poison on Friday night.
Two peas in a pod.
Say hello to Mr. 40, right?
Yeah, it was, hey.
And Dennis Murphy. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, God, hey, look, how you doing? Hey, boys.
What's up, man?
Let me ask you, Mr. 40 first. How was your experience the entire night with Dennis and with Poison?
We had a good time.
You said you were nervous about going into the concert. It just wasn't your type of people, 40. Did you find that to be the case?
Well, who do you think was easier to spot, a man with one hand or me?
All right, and Dennis, how would you describe the evening?
Hey, it was a great evening. 40 and I had a great time, and the Nissan Pavilion could look like gold.
Really? All right.
All right. Yeah, they did. Tom hooked it up.
All right, let me put you guys on hold for a second. And let's get right to the tape.
All right.
I understand that this is a Dennis production.
This is a Dennis Murphy production, so really the cheese stands alone here.
Well, I'll just say this. There's a lot of insightful, how shall I say, like a great preamble to the interview.
How many times is the word beautiful said?
Beyond number.
Really?
But what you need to know is that there was not one technical difficulty until they got on the bus with Brett.
Oh, dear.
With Brett Michaels.
Oh, God.
All right, so you're going to hear Dennis arriving at Nissan Pavilion.
Right.
Going to hear Mr. 40 arrive. Going to hear him to the show. You're going to hear them sing with Poison.
Eh.
What do you mean, eh?
They sort of, they're not on stage with Poison. I think they're singing along with music that's piped in before Poison comes on.
What?
None
of this surprises us. We just have to find out the details.
You didn't ask Dennis is what he was wearing.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, I was wearing white shorts. I was wearing my nose piercing with black socks and a cowboy hat. And my hook couldn't fit because I gained a couple of pounds.
Wait,
about your shirt? What kind of shirt were you wearing?
I have a blue flannel shirt.
Right. Not even a T-shirt.
And those white shorts, Dennis, were they bicycle shorts or were they just shorts?
No, they weren't bicycle shorts.
Yeah. What happened to the bicycle shorts?
Well, I didn't have any.
You were going to stop at Modell's or something.
You said you were going to stop at a store.
I know, but I had to look, and it took us 2 hours to get to Nissan Pavilion.
We predicted that Dennis would not be wearing the outfit.
You wouldn't know the length of the trip if you stopped at the store before you got there.
All right, hold on, please. All right, let's get right to the tape. Is this real one?
Yeah.
All right, here's Dennis. And Tom, or Dennis, excuse me, and Mr. 40,
yes,
going to see Poison.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Dennis Murphy, and I'm in the dining room of the Nissan Pavilion, waiting for the group Poison to come out and visit me. When they come out, I will come back on the cable quarter. And also, it took me from the station to Nissan Pavilion, an hour and a half, which is 13 miles. The traffic is unbelievable here.
Unbelievable.
When I, uh, uh, I'll,
I'll get back with you as soon as possible. Thank you. Bye. Right now, hey guys, Michael, right now I'm sitting at the dining room table, having a Diet Coke, and as soon as the manager comes out, I will get back with you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, well, okay, I'll see you later.
Okay. What was that? Turning his microphone on when he didn't need to.
Mike, how you doing? This is Dennis back here. And now it's 7:15 Friday evening. And I'm in the Donovan area, and I'm still waiting for the group to show up. Apparently, they got caught in the traffic jam I did when I was getting to Nissan, when I was coming here to Nissan Pavilion. So,
what a mess.
When the group is here, I will get back with you. And I'm still waiting for 40 also.
All right.
So, I'm in the Donovan area. And
we've got that.
I'm actually a Diet Coke. So, I'll talk with you in a couple. Thank you.
Thank you. Just
checking in.
Thank you.
Thrilling, riveting.
Hey, Don, like I was just offered by Tom Michael, I'm here having Cajun chicken, salmon, green beans, and rice. This is pretty good.
So now he's eating.
He got he's fed. Eating. He's getting his dinner.
He's happy.
He's got Cajun chicken and
Sam.
Eat the food and then I'll get back with you.
It's going to be the longest break. Goodbye.
Hey, God and life.
Thank you.
What's up, man? Just getting up in this zone, man. Hey, there's a traffic at the very exit that it was an accident at the very exit that I had to get to. I left my house at like 5:05. I'm just getting here. What time is it? What time is it?
It's 5:08.
5:08, man. I've been sitting on 66.
Introduce yourself.
Who else would it be, man? It's 40, man. It's 40, Dennis. Man, I drank 2 40s on the way. Just sitting in traffic, man. I hollered at my man Tom. He doing all right. He said he'd give me some brew. I just need some beer, man. The ATM out of service. Dennis talking about he only got $20, man. But enough has happened so far. Apparently, they caught in traffic also. They caught in the same traffic.
The group poison.
Yes. Guess we'll get back to y'all in a minute.
We're waiting for
Glenn
Michael. We'll get back with you ASAP.
Hi, Donovan. Dennis Murphy describing the accident, and I just want to hear. Could you say that again? It was a what?
It was a single bender.
A what?
A single bender.
My bad. What the hell is a Kinder?
What's happening now?
40 is goofing on Dennis.
40 is goofing on Dennis, right, saying fender bender.
Absolutely. Apparently, there's a bit of a traffic issue on Friday.
Fender bender. It was a four-car accident, and it had a 14-mile backup. Look on, man.
I'm here late because I'm a Ginga Ginga.
What did he say?
40.
It was my
40's
Dennis.
Having trouble getting around the way Dennis talks.
Exactly.
Hey, hold on. Hello. Who's next there?
Get in the middle.
Hey, Don, like, how you doing? It's 7:07, and we're still waiting for the band Poison to come out to the dining area. 40 is having a beer attack, and he's going to find some beer.
A beer attack.
Once he gets some beer, I'll get back with you, and hopefully the band will be out here shortly.
These updates are great.
Riveting.
Cock you and whom possible.
Great. Hello, Dennis.
Gone and I were back. We just spoke with Rob, the tour manager, or the band manager. And it looks like we're going to be interviewing after the show. You got anything to say for this?
Don't matter, dog. You're bringing me beer.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah. The tour manager is giving us some beer. And we're going to have a good time listening to Boom Bop Bop. And what other songs?
Oompa-pa?
That's his favorite song. I'm listening as Oompa-pop.
Oompa-pop.
Unskinny Bob is turned into Oompa-pop.
Oh, God. My God.
They record the conversation now?
Yeah.
Well, why did you do that?
Okay, hold on.
Sitting here.
Hold on. Okay, don't worry. When he comes back, I'm going to have him repeat what he just told us.
But then I missed something like this. I was like, dog, I'm Mr. 40. Okay? That's all I want is some beer. Like, yeah, I'll get you some beer.
And 40, you all getting beer. We all getting beer. So,
I'm bringing yours, dog. You're not getting one. You didn't want any beer. You ain't want no beer.
Oh, come on, 40. I need at least one.
I hate it when Dennis tries to do the theater.
I think this is shtick. Yeah, I was going to say, but isn't this nice?
Oh, come on.
A lot of time what you had was like they're painting the picture, and now they've moved on to the meat of the playlet where they're actually, there's interplay here. This
right
is great.
Now, make a check mark.
Let me ask Mr. 40. Mr. 40, are you guys putting on some kind of a play for us right now?
What?
Never mind.
What?
Okay, I'll use my money. Okay, when the manager... Who's Rob, the tour manager? Thank you. So Rob, thank you. So we just got a beer. How do you like a beer?
No, wait a minute. He's ready to interview the tour manager, and he didn't cut it. Well, let's ask Dennis what the hell happened.
Dennis, you've got the tour manager there, but you don't speak to him.
You just say thank you, and you like pay attention to your beer. What happened to your microphone? What are you doing?
What happened was the tour manager got a two beers out, and he didn't want to talk to us, and that's why he walked away quickly.
Hold on, here's Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
I was going to say, he blew him off. You can hear Dennis say, hey, so-and-so, and he goes, not now, and then Dennis goes, okay, thank you.
Oh, we hear him not now?
Slightly in the background,
right,
blowing off.
That.
Okay.
Huh. Okay.
Are you going to pass on that one?
Okay.
All right, Dennis got blown off by the tour manager.
I've been blown off some of them time.
Hold on, Blue.
I'm trying to peg what it is, but I can't quite get it because of this damn cappuccino cup.
Okay. Let me sip.
Oh, they're doing a taste test with beer.
Very good. Dennis will say fun boy.
It tastes like Michelob, don't it?
Anheuser-Busch product.
I don't know, though. I just drank 240s of OE. It all tastes the same, right?
Well, the game plan now, Don and Mike, is we're going to watch the show, and then we're going to interview the band after the show. So what do you want to say as a sign-off for it?
We forgot to ask him could we get on stage.
Yeah, that's cool. What happened?
Like a train wreck.
I'm surprised you don't have the train wreck sound effect already.
Here it comes. It's got a nice in the foyer aisle waiting for the show to start, and
okay, all right. Was it Dennis's responsibility to ask about getting on stage? Was that his job?
No. Dennis?
Yeah, it was my responsibility. I asked Tom. He said there's no effing way you're getting on stage. I asked the band manager, which couldn't get on tape. We can't have you on stage.
Huh.
Was it because it's you?
No, we allow no one on stage, even radio personalities.
Well, now, see, that's not true because Bret Michaels had personally invited Mike and I to come up on stage.
I know, but apparently Rob, the co-manager, did not get the message to him.
Did you ever think it might be you?
I can't.
Did you start drinking heavily?
No, actually, it was more funny than I.
No. What I mean was, well, when I said it might be you, if the guy comes backstage and sees you big, sweaty you, enjoying your food and having your beer,
right?
Yeah. Maybe the guy lies to you and he says...
Breath reeking of Cajun chicken and rot.
We never let anybody up on stage with a band. I mean, do you think if perhaps you would... Let me ask Mr. 40. Hold on.
That'd be good.
Mr. 40?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you were representing. I'm sure that you were dressed, you know, at least acceptably. Were you there when the guy said you guys can't go on stage?
I went and asked the dude, after I said that, I went and asked him, and he said that you two would have been able to go. He said they invited Don and Mike to go on stage, but not us. It wasn't going to happen.
All right, gotcha. Well, there is a more lucid answer
there
from Mr. Right, Ford.
Very good.
Thank you. Dennis?
Was I a lucid answer?
No, you kind of like...
Not lucid at all.
Stammered and hemmed and hawed.
Mr. 40 very succinctly said, they said it would be okay for me and Mike, but not for anybody else.
Yeah.
But you just said the guy told you that no radio people are allowed on stage.
Okay, I sort of exaggerated. But 40 has the right answer.
Dennis has trouble with the truth.
What?
Hold on, please. You know what we're going to do? We're going to fast forward. We're going to take a break. We're going to fast forward. We're going to fast forward to where Dennis and Mr. 40 interview some guy from, what's the band, Winger?
Yeah, it's not Kip Winger, but it's a guy who's in Winger.
Hey, fantastic.
All right, so we'll hear them interview a guitarist from Winger. Would you guys stop that with Dennis' teeth? And then we will actually listen to Dennis and Mr. 40.
All right.
Sounds good.
Singing Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yeah.
And then they actually talk to Bret Michaels?
Yeah, when the tape works.
How much more of the tape is there?
We're at like 8 minutes, and I think it goes to about 25.
So, okay. I'm going to do some editing here, Mike.
Very good.
And we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Coming! Yes?
What the hell do you do in here?
I tidy things up a bit, just move the furniture around a little. I can move it all back.
No, don't you dare. I love this. What do you do? I mean, the room, it just seems, I don't know, so much bigger.
Yeah, the Chinese call it feng shui, the placement of objects in a room to maximize your harmony and power.
Well, since my divorce, my dick could use a little feng shui.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show. It's where the comedy never completes. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, you should know that we just received an email from Tom, who's our guy out at Nissan Pavilion, the big concert place.
Man, are we hearing good reports on this guy.
And he writes to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. For the record, Dennis and Mr. 40 were allowed to go on stage and watch Poison set from the side of the stage.
That's very good. I'm glad they were able to do that.
They evidently were not where they were supposed to be when the tour manager came looking for them.
There you go.
So they missed the opportunity.
Wow, how about that?
Overall, the night was fun. The interview with Brett was awesome, but Dennis and the tape player kept shutting off.
Wow.
I hope some of what I heard was usable. Thanks again, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. And apparently this guy is just
Dennis?
Terrific out of Nissan.
Dennis, now what about this? Tom writes that both you and 40 were welcome to go on stage and that you were not where you were supposed to be when the tour manager was looking for you.
Apparently that's the way it was, because we were on... We went out the dining room area, and we looked on the side of the stage, but not on the right side of the stage.
Hold on, please. 40?
Yo.
Yo.
That sound legit to you, 40?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. The dude, when we got back to the little joint, the dude was like, oh, everybody that's going down the hall is already gone. I mean, I was just talking about as far as performing.
All right.
He said it was no way we were going to be able to sing that you and, Don and Mike, because I don't know who spoke last, so both, you two would have been allowed to go in and perform.
But you guys
I was just talking in reference to that. Yeah, we could have gone on and watched it from the side of the stage.
All right, gotcha. Okay, all right, hold on a second. Let's get back to the tape now. This is Dennis or Mr. 40, I'm not sure which, interviewing the guitarist from the band Winger.
Stay tuned for a great interview. This will be good.
You want that now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I always think of next week.
Sorry. That's my bad.
No rocks.
I was really into the, the tape, so.
Yeah.
It seems to be affecting the whole show now.
It's contagious.
It's called Murphy's Law.
Are you ready for that now? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okie doke.
Do we have that, Rob?
What's that?
What he's doing is fast-forwarding. I'm saving you the trouble of hearing about 10 minutes worth of filler. Right.
Are they in the dining area?
They're having salmon.
Not
Winger
now.
Guitarist.
Here we go. Winger guitarist.
You know what I'm saying? What you playing with Winger? You play their guitar, right?
I started Winger in 89 with Kip and wrote that song, She's Only 17. And,
right.
You know, and then I joined Alice Cooper 4 years after that because Winger broke up in 91. And I was with Alice, man. He's cool.
Okay.
And then I was in a band called Dokken and was actually on this tour with Dokken a few years ago.
This guy is thrilled that anybody is asking him anything besides, may I have your license and registration, please? This guy is just freaking thrilled.
Sure.
Anybody's put a microphone in front of his face.
Sounds like he's got a hell of a resume.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had to give my man a shout out because he bought me a brew from the back. You know, I was 40, was out here tapping his vein, and he brought me a brew from the back, you know?
That is all that 40 cares about. You know what?
It's beer.
And that's what I like. Consistency in a human being. Yeah. It doesn't matter who the guy is. He bought 40 a beer. That's why he's being interviewed.
I'm saying, man, you look thirsty.
That's what I'm talking about.
I've never seen a guy drink beer that fast and didn't love it so much in my whole life. I got to bring him five more. They'll be gone in 10 minutes.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, let me get a Don and Mike. You rock. That's for Tim.
Don and Mike, you rock.
And that's for Tim.
Hey, Tim, that's for Tim.
A great interview.
Now let's go to Poison is now on stage.
Okay. So are we going to hear the band in the background?
Yes, and we will hear Dennis singing Every Rose Has a Thorn.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is not up on stage as it could have been.
No.
I guess it's from
down in his seat.
From the seat. They didn't get on stage, didn't they?
That would have been a horrible embarrassment for the show, but then again, that was our goal. We can send this to Yoko. We have to send Dennis out to more concerts.
None of the words.
That's what you're hearing is basically.
Bye. ratings.
Okay, all right.
Enough.
My God. Let's go. Dennis worked real hard learning the lyrics.
Let's go to 1735, Rob.
All right.
Mr. 40 setting up the interview with the guys in Poison.
Okay, very good. Good.
Go there.
Real quick, it's your man, Mr. 40, rolling with Dennis Murphy. He's behind me. We're about to make this happen real quick. I wish I had a beer for the interview, but I guess not. Oh, yeah, I can get a hard lemonade or something. Can I get a drink for the interview?
Man, you see, we got lots of people here that wrapped all the way around the bus.
Okay.
They're Brett's fans.
Okay.
So we'll take you on in. We got a few minutes for you to see the big B-man. Okay. So, ready to go in?
Yes, sir.
Love it.
All right, so right now,
we're going to walk up on the tour bus.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be great.
Right.
Dennis and Tom, we're going to ask some questions of Brett Michaels.
Right.
A Poison.
Can I get a drink real quick for the interview? Just one.
I love 40.
Hey, Mr. 40, 40, how many beers had you had up to this point? How many do you think?
Do I think?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I had to round it to around maybe 9. Oh, that's not rounding. 10.
Yeah. 10 beers already.
Wow, so you were enjoying yourself. You're feeling no pain, but you still wanted another one, right?
No pain.
Did they get you one before the interview?
Yeah.
All right. All right, hold on a second, please. Here we go.
That's all I want. I'm Mr. 40, baby. I don't believe in water. Come on. Come on, Dennis. Step up, baby. Step up. Yo, we hold it down in the bus right now. Dennis Murphy trying to get up. Brett, what's up, dog?
How you doing, man? I'm doing awesome. How you doing?
Doing all right? Hey.
I'm doing good.
Dennis Murphy right here.
All right, so now they're in the bus with Brett Michael.
So it sounds like we're going to get the highlight of the evening.
Here we go.
Man.
Okay. Go ahead, man.
We're going to sit right here. We're going to sit. All right, boom. Hold on.
You guys eat some beers and drink, y'all.
I'm going to go ahead and drink this mic real quick. You know what I'm saying? You want to rock the mic here? Hey, I'm going to turn this over to Dennis real quick.
There you go. Mistake.
So we big error, dog. You know what I'm saying? Hey, believe me. I remember the jokes from back in the day. You know what I'm saying? The straight MTV joints. I'm just, I'm like, yeah.
Hold on. 40's real nervous.
Yeah, a little.
40's real nervous.
Hey, you're kissing his ass.
You really sounded nervous, 40.
Nah, I'm saying I remember the videos from back in the day. Some of the songs.
You're kissing his ass. It's all right.
Oh, dog, I gave Dennis the mic and sat down with my drink.
All right.
Well, there we go.
Guys, eat some beers and drink, y'all.
I'm going to go ahead and drink this mic real quick. You know what I'm saying? You want to rock the mic here? Hey, I'm going to turn this over to Dennis real quick. Hey, dog. Show was banging, dog. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Believe me, I remember the jokes from back in the day, you know what I'm saying? The straight MTV joints, I'm just,
kiss ass.
Danger.
Mr. 40 is now giving the microphone to Dennis.
Big mistake.
And this is where it goes down.
I got to find the fault with 40 on this.
Energy and the vibe and the whole attitude of every time we come down here. Uh-huh. It's so awesome, man. It's such a great feeling in all of us in here tonight. It's a great thing about any type of music you're listening to you like. When you're doing it right and there's an energy and a flow, don't matter what you're listening to, everyone's in there together and hanging and banging, and it was awesome.
I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
And
you're like,
all right,
roll with it.
Okay. I'm here with Brett Michaels, and by the way, Brett, I'm
here we go.
I would have this.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Is his first question?
Do you
have
any
questions for me?
Oh my God.
Was your first question if Brett Michaels had any questions for you?
I was going down the split. I was kidding.
Now, why does the...
that's all right. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Why does the tape deck become a hot potato all of a sudden?
X-40. I don't know. 40 is holding the tape recorder.
Mr. 40?
Yeah.
What happened to the tape recorder?
Deion and Joe just kept stopping. I don't know why. It's like we would look, we'd just be sitting there talking, and Joe, click, click, stop.
Bad
cassette. I don't know why.
Really? Do you think a bad cassette
probably,
buzz?
Probably, yeah, jammed up.
All right, hold on, guys. Hold on.
Question for you.
Okay.
But can we discuss? Is it all right to discuss your to discuss your hand?
It's fine.
All right, let's just tell me about your hand. What happened?
Hey, Fred Michael.
That's great.
Yeah.
He wants to ask Dennis what happened to his hand.
About his hand.
Okay.
Can we hear that again? Yeah. Can we hear that again, please?
Thanks, Robbie.
That'd be good. That's just too good not to hear again.
Do you have any questions for me, Dennis Murphy? Yes. What happened to your hand?
Thank you for taking time for congregate. Good question. Do you have any questions for the world famous Dennis Murphy?
Well, I would have this question for you.
Okay.
But can we discuss? Is it all right to discuss your hand?
It's fine.
All right. Let's just tell me about your hand. What happened?
Okay. What happened to my life? I was in the ocean one year.
The shark story. Dennis gets extra credit for that.
He's not telling the truth.
I was swimming, right? And the next thing I know, a shark bit my hand off.
Gone.
Yeah, but it just bit my hand off. You see?
It's gone. Right.
No.
Do you have any good rings on your hand?
No good rings. The ring
kill me.
No, but
my ring.
Yeah, but no. What really happened was I was born like this.
Right.
But I tell everyone all that.
I knew you would BS me. I read you all about you.
You're good. Okay. So
Yeah, like you'd look at him or talk to him and then go, okay, so the shark bit off your hand. What about the rest of you? I mean, what's the reason for the rest of you?
I like the angle, though. I like the shark story. That's good. That makes me laugh.
And then I got mad and stuck my tongue out at the shark.
There you go.
And he bit that off as well.
Half of it.
Okay, would you like to take a stab what my famous poison song is?
Right. I'm going to ask you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what is my favorite poison song?
I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite poison?
Yeah.
And I'm asking you, what is your favorite?
My favorite poison song is Ooh Papa.
Oh, no.
Oh, Dennis. My
God. What a moron. Oh, how embarrassing.
Dennis. Oombop. Dennis, listen. Oombop was Dennis, a song by Hanson.
Where did Oom Bop Bop come from?
I don't know, Mike. Mike, we were in the cool bus. We knew this. Probably I would know this.
Would it ever, Dennis, hurt to just make even the slightest effort? Just the slightest effort to maybe get on the internet. Just to buy a CD.
Mike, we told him 1,000 times. The song is called Unskinny Bop.
Yeah.
Not Bop.
Well, was he visibly shaken when you said that to him?
Yeah. He was just shaking his head, I think.
All right. Hold on, please.
Hold on.
I wish we were on stage, so probably I could sing with you, but they would never go on stage. Okay. What is your take on a WorldCom debacle?
Well, I got a real take on that. I think it was Bernie Ebers? Is that who we're
talking about? Bernie Ebers, correct.
I think with a guy like him, you know, this is my opinion. I think that...
You're talking about WorldCom.
What's your opinion on the WorldCom debacle?
What was that pause? What was that grant? Was that what?
That was
the tape recorder.
Oh, really? Okay.
We're talking about Bernie Ebers, right? I think that, like I said, he's either a great used car salesman that got himself a nice suit and screwed a lot of people out of a lot of money, he honestly had no idea that they were, you know, $3, $4, $5 billion in debt. Who's to say?
Mm-hmm.
A couple little mess ups in the accounting department. Studio with you guys. Do it.
They're not the tape recorder again.
The tape recorder stops.
What's going to happen if we do it now?
What you want to call in Monday? Where are you going to be today? Next time the show is on is Monday.
We're going to, now Monday we have a, we're driving all the way across to Toledo, so I think it'd be too late in the day to I could call in. Maybe Thursday. What about Thursday?
I mean, we're at the scene right now. It's going, let's try one more time until this thing stops, man.
All right. I'm hoping if we can get done and the tape doesn't keep jumping out of there. You know, it was 10. We're down to about 2 right now. And I'm telling you, that's getting late. I'm going, you can have, you know what, at the rate we're going, we're now down to 1 and she's out in the parking lot drunk, and if she leaves, I can see the car lights going. We're going to have to chase her down.
This poor guy, this guy's a trooper.
Yeah.
This guy, Brett Michaels, he's a trooper sitting there.
Stand-up guy.
Dennis, dragon breath coming at him.
That's right. Oh. The tape popping out of the machine.
Half a hand.
40 just asking for beers.
Okay, how about,
Let's ask 40 how much Dennis was sweating when this is going. When we got the la la la.
How much was he sweating?
Buckets.
All right.
Hold on, please. Hey, you know, I'm on vacation. So, hey, if you on too busy tomorrow, do you want to hang out?
Absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way.
So tomorrow night you'll be in Hershey, correct?
Yes.
That's good. And,
we'll be fit.
No, yeah, I'm on vacation anyway, so I'll meet up with you.
Look, I got just two questions. You drink 40s, right?
I drink 40s. That's...
What's your favorite 40?
Well, you know what? I'm going right now. You know what? Can I just go with what I'm drinking right now?
Big 40 of Bud Light.
Yeah, well, I'm going 40 Bud Light. I'm a Corona man if I can. I just had to dig my hand down in there, and as we were having a conversation, me and you were ready to pop it open, and then, of course, we had the mic debauchery.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, I have to go with the Corona, the Bud Light.
All right, and then we're going to close it out. Just let me know. Just say, Don and Mike, I'm a member of FONA. That's Fans of Nice Asses.
All right. Don, Mike, I am a member of FONA. And that is Fans of Nice Asses.
Thank you, dog.
And that would be it. Well, I was entertained. Good job. They managed to make it entertaining even with a technical malfunction.
That would be it. Thank you, Mr. 40.
Nothing problem.
And thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Mike.
Dennis, stellar job. Very nicely done.
Okay, I'm going to big job. I'm wrapping myself up. I can look like a babe.
What?
What are you saying?
What?
Oh, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to lather myself up.
Oh, yeah. Look at the babe.
All right, Dennis.
And I'll see myself 3 hours later. Thank you.
On 96 Rock in Ocean City. All right, bye, Dennis.
And I'll be there Friday.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you,
Don.
Thank you for the challenge.
Yeah,
good.
That
was a very
challenging. Goodbye.
You know what's nice is when Dennis gets tan, his teeth look even whiter.
Absolutely. And he lathers himself up when he has his morning BM.
He makes his own lather.
Mr. 40, how would you rate the experience?
Oh, man, hey, this show was off the hook. We had a ball. Once I got had a ball.
I like the team. Mm-hmm. I like the team a lot.
Mm-hmm. How would you feel about working with Dennis in the future?
I got some brew, man. It's all good.
Thank you, 40.
All right,
great job. Don't do soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Well, we were not able to make it there. They were not able to make it here, so we met them halfway.
I sure like this combination, though.
Yeah.
You know, without the technical problems, it's a solid performance.
And I think come Thursday, if Brett Michaels does call us from Toledo...
Yeah, we'll have to ask him what his impressions were of the interview.
Absolutely.
Hey, I like Brett Michaels going right for the hand, though.
What's with the hand, dude? All right. Thank you. Oh, listen. Here's the deal. I want to do a real quick break to catch up here. I'm going to give anyone out there a chance to beat me at Stump the Stoop.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. We're going to do 70s oldies.
Excellent.
And I have for winners, if you're able to beat me, tickets for Eminem.
Very good.
Because everybody loves the Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a choice, actually, of either going to see Eminem or Hall & Oates.
Hi!
Jeepers, creepers.
Who do you pick
about
there?
Two ends of the spectrum.
Who do you pick there? Eminem with Papa Roach, Ludacris, Executioners, and Bionic, or Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates.
I can't go for that.
Your kiss is on my list.
You know how we play the game Stump the Stoop? Rob loads up songs in there that I don't know what they are, and you guys on the phone, we challenge each other. Like, for instance, I can name it in 5 seconds, 2 seconds, and this one would be...
Skinny Bop.
That's how you play the game, Mike.
I beat you.
I win.
That's exactly how you play.
I beat you.
So, guys, if you would like to, and if you beat me straight up, mm-hmm. I'll give you your choice. Either go see Eminem or Hall & Oates.
He had that for me on his tickets.
And we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Serving Yorkshire pudding right out of a woman's privacy. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Cherry.
Hi, Cherry.
Listen, I just wanted to say thanks for getting me to the show and backstage.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, I had an awesome time.
Did you get to bang any of the guys?
No, I didn't. I'm married, remember?
Well, yeah, but did you try?
Well, he was kind of busy signing autographs, but it would have been fun.
Were you groped by any members of Poison?
No, wasn't. Brett was a gentleman.
So you had a chance to meet him?
Yeah, I sat on his lap, and I said, where were you today? I was supposed to be with you on Don and Mike.
Right.
I sat on his lap.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking at your bra right now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, we got it hanging on the wall.
I told him that I had to show my breasts to get back here, and he goes, well, he liked my breasts. So.
Oh, that's so he saw them too?
No, he just saw I had a shirt on, and he could see.
Oh, you're lying. You're lying. Admit it.
I just wanted to say thank you, and a lot of people recognize me from your show. They come up to me and said, are you Cherry?
That's wonderful.
All right, Cherry. Thank you, honey.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. You know what she did, really?
She, yeah. Train. No.
No. I was going to say that she.
Choo-choo.
Right here. Listen to this. You hear the sound? Thank you, Mr. Michaels.
Oh, man. Thank you, Mr. Winger.
Thank you, Mr. Faster Pussycat. No, thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Wow.
All right.
What a show. Well, he could not have been a better host. Everybody got to meet him that they promised. Yeah. That's nice.
Stump the Stoop time, give you a chance to win tickets either for Eminem or Hollow Oats.
Super.
If you can simply beat me at this game that I used to play with my disc jockey friends, Stump the Stoop, where you name a song from the 70s as soon as it starts.
Are you going to do an example? Are you going to give people an example?
Yeah, right now. Rob, which CD? Either one?
You go any of the three.
Okay.
God.
Are you
going to
say how you can name
the
it?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I can name it in... Oh, Mike, let's play like...
I can name it in five notes.
I can name it in 4 seconds.
Three.
Two.
One.
Well, you're going to lose.
He didn't like that. Theme from Star Wars.
That was an easy one. Want to go again?
Yeah, one more time.
Go ahead, start.
I can name that song in three notes.
Seconds.
Seconds. 3 seconds.
Two.
Go.
Don't you want to try one?
No.
Okay. Love Train, OJ's.
There you go. It's a tie.
Oh, you want to play a game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I can name that song in 3 seconds.
I can name it in two.
One. I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett.
Midnight Train to Georgia. Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Sorry.
Got it. Very tough to do on drum notes.
Well, see, but you're not really the standard competitor because you're a DJ.
I'm a DJ, but not a musicologist, really, per se.
I enjoy beating our listeners in this game.
Yeah,
I love it.
Beat them to a pulp.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mike.
All right, Mike, I can name it in 5 seconds.
I can name it in 4.
All right, I'll give you the listener a chance. Name it in 4 seconds. Ready, go.
I have no earthly idea.
Theme from Shaft.
Great, great song.
Wow, and I gave you 4 seconds.
A lot.
Wow, you suck.
Bye.
Next
to become.
Hello, Donna.
And you will find Donna's a gracious winner.
Hey, Don.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, I can name it in 5.
All right, I'll try it in 4.
Oh, no. I can name it in 3.
All right, go for it.
3 seconds.
Go for it,
please. I already know it. Disco Inferno by the Tramps. Bye. You lose.
Another person vanquished.
You suck.
So long,
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Keith.
Keith, where are you from?
Owingsville, Maryland.
All right, Keith, I tell you what. You start the bidding this time.
All right, I can name it in 4 seconds.
All right. Fair enough. Make it happen.
All right. Is it Mbop Bop by Dennis Murphy?
Oh, come on.
He was simply setting us up for a comedy line.
You retard. That was a Family Affair.
Sly and the Family Stone.
It's a Family Affair.
Very easy. Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, Bill from Philly.
Hi, Bill. Okay, you want to play?
Yeah, please.
All right, go ahead. You start.
I can name it in 4.
I've given a lot of people the chance at 4.
Yeah.
I can name it in 3.
Okay, go ahead.
See, no one's got any balls.
No, what's wrong?
Nobody wants to go. Why don't you go 2, man?
I'll put them on the spot.
3, I'll kill you, though. I already know it's The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia by Vicki Lawrence. I do it after a second.
Mm-hmm. Damn, what a great song.
And what a great lady.
What do you have, the old gay CD out there? What does that mean? We got the Disco Inferno.
It's the compilation.
What, the gay compilation?
No, the hits from the 70s.
Well, they weren't all gay. This is gay. What's that?
Very straight.
Vicki was straight.
Remember the day we had her on the show?
Oh, yes, in our little temporary studio.
We were working at another station, and they were rebuilding the studios.
Right.
And for about 2 weeks, Mike and I had to work out of a
production studio, a very small studio.
Actually, the news studio. And we had Vicki Lawrence come in one day, and she's as big as a house. And it was highly uncomfortable with the three of us in the same room.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I never told you where my hand was during that interview. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There was no light where my hand was.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
It's Dean.
Dean?
Yes, sir.
All right, Dean?
Yes, sir.
I can name it in 5.
4.
All right. Name it in 4. Go.
y'all know that.
Now I'm going to appeal to people that know songs to call in. Yeah, please.
That's Brick House, of course.
That's it.
You don't know songs, do you, sir?
Not very much, I guess.
You just wanted to call in and play.
You got to switch the CDs up so that the years are different.
All right, you got it.
Because that must be like all 1979.
Yeah, it is.
1978. Switch it up, Robbie.
Switch it up.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob. Where are you from?
Actually, Arlington.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I'll name it in 5.
Name it in 4.
I'll name it in 3.
Go ahead.
God, you pussies.
Okay.
What you see is what you get.
By who?
What you see is what you get by the Dramatics.
That is right. Holding any eggs up.
Goodbye, loser. Goodbye, loser. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
I can name it. Who's this?
This is Mike.
I'll name it in 5.
I'll name it in 3.
That's nice strategy there.
All right.
Okay.
Name it in 3.
All right. Oh, no clue.
That would be Miracles by Jefferson Starship.
All right. You want to play one more round?
You want to play again?
Yeah, I can name it in 1. In 1.
In 1?
And then you can't, so you forfeit.
What?
I'm just fooling around.
What are you doing?
So I can name it if you say I can name it at 1. There's nowhere for you to go. So I win by default.
No, but then you have to name it.
Well, that's right. Oh, okay. Otherwise, he wins. All right, give it to me.
You want one in 1 second?
Yes.
Go.
Treat Her Like a Lady.
Bye.
I have no idea. Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
Very good.
Yes.
Nice. I get half of it right.
Yes, you do. You want to play again?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me try with someone on the phone.
Okay,
first.
I'm just having fun.
I know. Me too. You know I could do this all day.
It is fun.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Blind Glenn here.
Hi, where are you from?
Las Vegas.
What did you say your name was?
Blind Glenn.
What's your names?
Huh?
Brian Glenn?
Blind Glenn.
Blind Glenn.
Blind Glenn.
Oh, okay. Blind. Blind.
All right, Blind Glenn, I can name it in 5 seconds.
3.
All right. Very bold. Go.
A Little Again Naturally.
By?
A Little Again. Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Well, yeah. There you go, Blind Glenn, the first listener.
We got a player.
Glenn, the first listener that won.
That's a winner.
That's pretty good.
That's a winner. Now, I should be allowed to go for 1 for 2 seconds, a different song, and if he matches me, then we move along.
No, technically he's already.
No, he wins already.
Just kidding.
He wins already.
Like Glenn. Technically, you've been beaten.
Glenn, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just kidding. Oh,
I have not been beaten.
Well, on this round, you know, it's one song, because when the listeners do not have a chance to go for, like, a second round.
Would you like to see Eminem or Hall & Oates? Or, I mean, you can't see any of them.
Oh, no.
They're not out here, so could I have something else?
Well, no, we have tickets for Eminem and for Hall & Oates.
Okay.
You know what? Never mind. Let me go right to the blind pile. Excuse me. I guess that
blind pile.
That eliminates DVDs,
right?
Yeah.
That eliminates videotapes.
Well, not really, because he could actually enjoy a movie hearing the sound.
Yeah, the captioned.
Would you like a movie to listen to?
No.
All right, well then, please enjoy your box of 25 Durex condoms.
Excellent.
That's what I need.
There you go.
Sex. And then there's Durex.
Fantastic.
All right, my friend. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Please. Hold on. All right. Let me just get one more right off the telephone.
All right, very good.
And then I'll play with you one time.
Okay.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Donna Mike?
Who's this?
This is Scott.
Where are you from?
Spokane.
All right, Scott. I can name it in 5.
4.
3.
2.
Do it.
Is it Pathplay? Sorry, I don't have a clue. The only thing I can think of. There has been no discussion about.
Stop turning this game into a mockery. Pathplay.
Pathplay.
No, it's Magic by Pilot. Oh, ho, it's Magic.
Gay.
It's Magic.
It's not gay.
Gay name.
Pilot.
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 But Pilot.
All right, Mike. Ready to go?
Yes. You want to start?
I can name it in two.
Go.
Oh, Girl by the Shy Lights.
All right, you win that round. Do I get another one?
Yeah.
Okay. I can name it in 3 seconds.
I can name it in two.
Go.
Let's stay together, Al Green.
Well, the strategy isn't working. You start the bidding.
I can name it in three.
Two. Precious and Few by Climax.
Very good.
Thank you all very much.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. That's like, I want to quit now. I want to quit now.
I want to quit now.
I want to quit now.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last chance. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Marco.
All right, Marco.
Marco.
We played a game.
I can name it in five.
I can name it in three, fella.
Fella.
Hey, all right, fella. Here you go. Fella.
Sweet Jesus, I have no idea.
That would be The Air I Breathe by the Hollies.
I want to give props to Blind Glenn, who really was the only listener.
Did good.
Even had a guess.
Well, that did good. Heightens the senses, Mike.
Yes.
That's right. He has an unfair advantage.
That's right. You should have been blind. You should have been handicapped.
Because he's blind. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Jim.
Jim, do you really think you're any good at this?
I'm not too bad.
No.
No, yeah.
Not good enough.
I need someone who really thinks they can beat me.
Really knows music. Really knows, knows the songs.
Hello, Don and Mike. Do you really think you have a chance at this?
I think so.
Nope.
No, I don't think so. Hi, Don and Mike. Do you think you really have a chance at this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Bob.
Bob, I can name it in three.
Two.
Go.
Brandy, Looking Glass.
Oh, we might have a player.
Player.
We may have a player. Because there is a slight disadvantage on the phone. You don't hear the songs as clearly.
Sure. All right, you've won M&M tickets or Hall & Oates tickets. Your choice.
I'll go with M&M.
M&M, okay.
Can we do another one?
You bet.
I can name it in four.
I can name it in one.
Yeah, so can I. All right, go.
Can you really?
Yeah.
I'll give you a chance. Here you go.
You got to play that again. I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Do it to your satisfied.
By who?
Let me think a second.
Man.
This guy's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this.
It's BT Express, but I'll give it to you.
Yes, it is for knowing it with 1 second over the phone.
Yeah.
I didn't
All right.
Know.
I finally got me a worthy competitor.
Yeah, yes. This is good. It's good when we have a worthy competitor.
Now we're going to play back and forth. The 1 second game.
Okay.
Okay.
With me and this guy.
Very good.
First guy to lose, first guy to not get it right loses the game.
Very good.
You want me to go first or you?
I'll defer to you.
All right.
Yeah, very, very bad strategy.
1 second. That would be Chick-a-Boom, Don't You Just Love It by Daddy Doudrop.
Crazy dream by a chick in a black bikini.
I'm right.
Oh, she looks so good.
I'm like, this is gay.
Chick-a-boom.
Well, I got a little to get to the hook, I guess, here.
Chick-a-boom,
don't you just love it?
Love it. I made it through the first
This got played in a lot of strip clubs, too.
I know we got a break, Robin.
Chick-a-boom,
chick-a-boom, boom. Okay, you ready? 1 second.
Okay.
And here it is.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Shining Star?
Man, this guy is good.
Yeah. We continue.
Great talk on record, too. Lots of different posts.
We don't have time, though. But here's one. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Right now, 60 Shepherd. Okay, 1 second. To me, here we go.
That's it.
The Streak by Ray Stevens.
Wow.
Would you have gotten it if you hadn't heard the three?
Absolutely not.
Disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Yep. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I stand over but...
Please.
Okay. Are you ready? 1 second.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Jim Stafford.
Negative.
No. Okay.
Brand New Key by Melanie.
Hold on. Restart it, Robbie. Hold on.
song really seriously makes me want to kill myself.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
She's a UC as well.
I rode
Melanie. Big, dirty, smelly, hippie Melanie. All right, well, listen, you are a worthy challenger.
Good job, sir. Yeah.
Nice job. Nice playing you.
Oh, nice playing you, too. I'd love to do it anytime, just for fun.
All right, you got it. Bye-bye. But don't forget.
I did beat Jack. Keep on hold. He won the ticket.
Yeah. You get the, he won an M&M, right?
M&M, yes. Right.
You got him.
Thanks.
Thank you. Hold on a second. Now, all last week, we missed out on the fact that one of our favorites is in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And unfortunately, he's not here under the best of circumstances.
We're going to have him on the phone this time.
We are, yes. On the telephone, someone from his sickbed, someone very famous, very close to the Don and Mike show. Okay?
Yeah, I heard a rumor that he's not doing that well.
Really? Right after this, it's Bob Barker time.
This is the Don and Mike show.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the first spin of the second showcase showdown on The Price is Right, the highest rated game show in daytime television.
You want to get right?
Because it is my show and I'll say what I wish. The Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Thank you, Bob.
Pardon them for being human. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Speaking of that, I realized I got one of the phones drawn. I might owe someone a prize.
Really?
It was Have You Seen Her by the Shy Lights, not Oh Girl.
Have You Seen Her?
Yeah, I was looking at the box and I have that one up, so.
Man, feels pretty strong.
If I owe you a prize, call me up. Let me call Bob Barker right now.
Yeah.
He's at the National Institution of Health. NIH,
mm-hmm.
And I got a direct number to his room. I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with him.
Had a little surgery, I guess.
But I know he's in the D.C. area, and he's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And he's a good friend of the show, Bob Barker. I think he has a direct line right to his room.
Hope so. Stop ringing. Are we having some trouble getting through to Mr. Barker?
Did you pick up the phone that rang?
Yes.
Let me try it again. Hang up.
Let's try to pick up the phone that rang.
Bob is getting older.
Bob is getting older. He might not have heard it.
Okay, hold on now.
Or he's sitting on it.
Let's wait and see now. Wait for the light to go on, I guess. What are you doing? I heard it.
I'm not doing anything.
I heard it when you picked it up.
Right?
I heard it physically when you picked it up.
Well, what I did was I cut the line in between picking
all
it
right,
up.
All right, hang it up again. Let's just do it on the air one time.
I heard the click. We're going to try to call Bob Barker's room. Jesus Christ. How about it works this time?
Hold on. This is just a test.
It's ringing. Hello?
That phone is effed up.
Apparently.
Wait a minute.
I think I figured it out. Someone.
Hello?
There you go.
A little switch.
There you go. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hello?
The problem was you were picking it up on the wrong phone thing.
No. It was the switch.
Oh.
Which was on. The switch was on off.
Gotcha. And all right.
They do that with that switch, but why don't you try him one more time? Let's try Bob Barker and do it right this time and see how it goes.
I called the nurse's station in the back room, and yes, now Bob is ready to receive
Bob's it. Ready to take the call. Someone had put the switch on off, Rob.
Well, thank God they don't do that on Bob Barker's life support.
But I think I deserve credit for figuring out
absolutely.
That switch.
Amen.
Hope
see if he's there now. I was ready to chastise you for picking up the wrong phone bank. There you go.
Hello?
Bob.
Hello?
Bob Barker?
Who's calling?
Don and Mike show.
Oh, Don. How are you? It's so
wonderful to hear you talk to me.
The question is how, Bob?
I dropped the phone.
Bob?
I dropped the phone. Nurse?
Bob?
I want you to pick up the phone. Hello?
Bob?
I'm terribly sorry. Is it there? I've had... You see, Don?
Hi, Bob.
Don Bob Barker.
I know from The Price is Right.
How are you? It's so good to hear from you, to hear your voice. How have you been?
How are you?
I'm not well.
What? Bob, what are you in NIH for?
I have experienced right now, I'm experiencing a tremendous bout with rectal bleeding, I don't mind telling you. It's blood every day. So I've been hospitalized so that they can take care of that. And, of course, the clap. I have the clap. I do from banging my beauties. The best beauties on daytime television. No, I'll list the problems that I have. The clap, rectal bleeding. I've had 3 or 4 mini strokes that have occurred just in the last week or so. I'm right now experiencing colitis, just a tiny bit of angina and jaundice.
Oh my.
But I know that I'll be back on my feet in no time.
Now, how are they...
Hosting The Price is Right.
How are they treating you there at NIH? I mean, are you getting a nice sponge bath?
I have the most wonderful nurse, Dawn. She is named Karen, and she bathes me. She bathes me, and she does ass-play.
Wow.
Wonderful, delightful ass-play with Bob Barker, host of The Price is Right on daytime television. She'll come in, usually in the evening, and I'm, of course, a little gamey after lying in the bed all day. Mm-hmm. She'll toss my bed, not my salad.
Not your salad.
She'll roll me over, and then she'll gently take a smooth, warm cloth, bathe me from head to toe, and then let her fingers slowly work her way to the bloody area. And I'll tell you right now, I feel wonderful.
You mean even with all the blood?
Yes.
You still enjoy the ass play?
Ass play. Well, I'll tell you about this wonderful lady. She's done the most incredible job on me, Don. But I will tell you that the rectal bleeding has stopped, and I think it's in no small part to her incredible care that she's given me. But I still am jaundiced in the mini strokes. The mini strokes are taking their toll on Bob. They're telling me right now that I should be in here for a couple of months or so, and I might never get out.
Well, Bob, I'm seeing
that. I might die here.
I'm seeing the Tonight on
wonderful.
TV.
I'd love to die here.
Fox is running.
I am going to die.
Fox is running the movie Happy Gilmore. Bob?
Just a moment, please.
And what they do is they edit
out. I need my spittoon. Bob needs his spittoon.
Bob?
Oh, God. He's busy.
I'm fine. Hello, Karen. My lovely nurse. Bob needs my gown. I've soiled my gown. Hello. Hello, Don.
Bob.
I have to try on a new gown. My gown has been soiled. I wet my gown. I wet my hospital gown. I do that 3 or 4 times a day. I tell them I need more gowns. Put them right next to the bed, and I will change myself. They insist on going down to the closet and bringing one back for me each time I soil it.
Now, Bob, you know, tonight on Fox, they're running the movie Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yes, with the delightful Adam Sandler. No, now you've had enough.
And don't you call him bitch in the movie?
Yes, I call him bitch. I don't use that kind of language often, but it was a funny, funny role, and I enjoyed my time.
I think in the version they're going to be running tonight on Fox, they edit out the word bitch.
Oh, that's...
Bob?
I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath just talking to you. I'm not doing well.
Why?
I just don't know.
Bob?
I'm sorry.
Are you crying?
I found myself getting very emotional.
Are you crying?
Due to the incredible thing I've been through, jaundice, the clap, and also the different illnesses that I have, and the big C might be around the corner.
Oh,
I hope
not.
No. I've had another mini stroke while we've been on the phone together with you on The Price is Right.
Let me give you a reason.
Say hi to Rod for me, will you please?
Let me give you a reason to believe that you can get out of the hospital and be healthy.
Please, Don, I need hope. I need hope right now.
Next to you, here's a little quiz.
Yes?
Next to you, who's the most hospitalized man in America?
I know the answer to that when I'm lucid today, and that would be Michael Elsa.
In a world where only on the radio strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring news to his people. He made it up.
Wonderful.
It was Buzz, and he's made it out of the hospital.
He is a wonderful newsman. I'd like to have him on The Price is Right.
I'd love to be there. Buzz, what is your lead story today on the news in the comments?
Oh, my dear. It should be about Bob Barker, I guess. But today, Michael Jackson's 9/11 tribute, directed by a gay porn maker.
Wonderful, Buzz. I'll be sitting in my hospital bed listening to you, the best-rated newsman on Daytime Radio.
Get apple juice.
Bob, always remember and stay tuned here
for news and comment.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
And Bob? Bob?
I'm here. I just passed Parker Gas.
That was very...
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
These two DAs agree on only one thing.
Right.
Providing a daily four-hour radio stink face. The Don and Mike Show.
It's time for news now, and here is our man, Buzz
Kirby.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The guy who produced Michael Jackson's 9/11 fundraising video is also a maker of gay porn films.
Really?
Mark Schaefer produced Michael's What More Can I Give, but he's also known as Mark Fredericks, a name that can be found on adult websites and gay adult videos. Michael Jackson's 9/11 tribute was Mark's first venture into music video. He had no prior experience in that field.
I bet Michael liked him.
Sony has no comment on the story, but journalists have pointed out that a number of accusations against Michael have surfaced ever since Jackson attacked Sony Music in a news conference 10 days ago.
Sony.
Yes, surprise? I don't think so. Hey.
As
Tommy.
Tommy. May be behind this.
Tommy Mottola.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm not into.
What's that, Tommy?
Ass play. That's for fags.
You released all these horrible stories about Michael Jackson. You're doing this, aren't you, Tommy?
Of course I am, Mike.
Yeah, well, who do you think you are?
I'm Tommy Mottola. I'm Tommy Mottola.
Accused.
God damn it. And that little, you know that little faggot?
Yeah.
That little white Pinocchio?
Yes, Michael Jackson. Tommy.
He was the best man at Liza Minnelli's wedding.
I understand that. That's true. Are you?
I was not there.
Well, who'd invite you? Who do you think you are?
I'm Tommy Mottola.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike, how can I say this, are gay.
And you married one.
Don't mess with Tommy. Accused traitor John Walker Lind is pleading guilty to charges he helped the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Lind had planned to plead innocent, but today one of his lawyers told the judge here in Alexandria, Virginia, there is a change in plea. Apparently, Lind's lawyers struck a deal last night with government prosecutors. Lind will get 20 years, not life.
Yeah, who cares?
Lind is accused of plotting to kill American citizens and with helping Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, along with using guns to commit crimes. There was to have been a hearing today to see which things Lind said since his capture could have been admitted
in
court. Somebody's
going to make him his bitch.
As evidence.
Yeah.
We're being warned of revenge from the man who's been sentenced to die for kidnapping and killing American reporter Daniel Pearl. Omar Saeed was sentenced today. Afterward, his lawyers read a statement in which Saeed said the holy war between Islam and the non-believers would continue and that Allah can get his revenge. Saeed's co-conspirators only got 25 years each, and the lawyers for all four men say they will appeal.
I said guilty when I heard their names.
Sure.
A San Francisco woman's been sentenced to the maximum 4 years in prison for a fatal dog mauling. Marjorie Noller and her husband were both convicted of involuntary manslaughter after two dogs they were caring for attacked and killed a neighbor last year. The judge told the couple that they knew the dogs were dangerous and that the Nollers showed no remorse and lied under oath during the trial.
So what did they get?
They both did the maximum 4 years in prison.
Oh, I got you.
With good behavior and time served, they should be out in about 14 months.
Somebody will make them their bitches.
Is it true?
Well, I think I was watching some court TV that
right.
The woman in this, the poor woman who was dead, who got mauled by the animal, the owner of the animal stepped over the dead person to open her door and put her groceries in before she went back.
That was the testimony.
To check on the person who had been eaten alive by the dog.
Lovely human being.
Yeah, right. And she gets only 4 years.
Yeah, total. That's the maximum sentence.
That's sick, whether or not.
All right.
The cannibals listened to everything the missionary had to say, and then they ate him. Wall Street was watching.
They were fine.
Wall Street was watching.
Fine young cannibals.
Well, they were young, too. Wall Street was watching as President Bush today gave a speech in which he said the economy is fundamentally sound and coming back. An hour later, the markets had fallen another 300 points.
Wow.
On top of the 700 they lost last week.
Jesus.
Right.
The password is depression.
The president pointed out that in the first 3 months of this year, inflation was low and productivity was on the rise. He urged investors to be confident, but investors are still jumpy about the recent corporate scandals.
And I like it about every member of Bush's team that you're reading about now every day. Dump stock the day before the stock tank.
Well, stick around.
I mean, it's amazing.
In today's speech, the president again promised to hold accountable the folks responsible for these scandals. Bush. That said, the government will investigate Vice President Cheney's former company. The head of the Security and Exchange Commission says the investigation will be vigorous and that the SEC will take enforcement action if it's warranted.
Is it vigorous? Is he vigorous? Is he vigorous? Who's your agent? Where do you live?
The Halliburton Company kept running over cost with Cheney at the helm. SEC Chairman Harvey Pitt also says he agrees with Democrats that President Bush should release the papers for some oil company stock he sold 10 years ago.
Does anybody know how rich Cheney is? Does anybody know how much money that guy made?
I don't know his actual worth. It's a lot.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So Bush comes out and says today, rah, rah, yay,
the economy's
for
right.
Us. And it went down.
And it's the second
300
time,
points.
It's the second time he's done that.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time he came out, I said, we're going to have to investigate the WorldComs of this world.
Right.
And then the stock market tanked. And today he said the economy's great. And
investors,
the stock market tanked.
They were watching the speech, and they kept selling anyway.
You know, there are a lot of people today, too, that bought. Because there has just been a lot of publicity over the weekend. A lot of people bought today.
Oh, this just in. The Dow lost 400 points on the day.
Oh, my God.
Honey. Yes, my darling.
Did you do that thing with the money?
I got it, Sugar Bear.
Thanks.
Ooh, 400 points.
Thanks, honey.
No,
someone else picked up.
Oh, wait. I got it. What is it?
Oh, no, the Dow's down 400 today.
Oh, my goodness.
On top of the 700 it lost last week.
Oh, my goodness.
But you did that thing, right?
Yeah, I hope it got to it.
You hope what? You what? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
What's going on there? Bart, hang up.
He's hung up.
What's wrong with my phone? I mean, my phone at home.
It's like calling Bob Barker.
Another call coming in?
Honey? Are you on that dumb Time Life operator phone?
Did someone turn it off?
Is that better?
Yes. Were you on that headset thing?
Yes.
That's the problem. My wife, God love her. She looks like such a tard walking around with that thing.
I love the headset.
But I can do dishes and fold laundry and do all the things I have to do.
There you go. Anyway, I don't want to overreact, but I just wanted to mention the stock market is down 400.
Wow.
Well, that's,
okay.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
So you did that thing, though.
Yeah, I did the thing.
All right, thank you.
I was taking care of in time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sir.
Bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. You did that thing I asked you to, right? You bought that gun?
A nice, cool gun.
Had all those bullets I wanted.
It's amazing.
Buzz, we must break.
All right.
I know you live to bring us more great news.
Oh, I love to tell the stories.
You know, and here I am. What a sap I am. I'm the guy who said, don't worry about it.
Right.
When it goes below 10,000, then you can start to worry.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So it looks like I'm going below 8,000.
Yes.
It's officially time to panic.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Panic time.
We will be right back.
Somebody happy,
that's not me, that's someone happy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got
Raja, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They broadcast the wrong time, dear. Don, dear, and Mike, dear.
They do the Smothers Brothers this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Wednesday night. Not this weekend, Wednesday night. At Wolf Trap, Northern Virginia, go to www.wolftrap.org for ticket information. Thanks to Dick Smothers. And now here is Nuz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Lance Armstrong started in eighth place in today's ninth stage of the Tour de France. He's now in second.
You know what?
Balls.
Yeah, you know what? He's so fast.
Why?
He's only got one nut.
Bingo. He's lighter on the bike.
Right.
The WNBA All-Star Game is tonight in Washington, and it's a sellout.
And I'll see you there.
And finally, a quadriplegic man is suing a strip club in West Palm Beach, Florida, because their lap dance room is not wheelchair accessible.
I don't blame him.
Is that true, sir?
Yes.
So you want it to be wheelchair accessible?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because I can't walk. Because I got a wheelchair with an electric wheelchair.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it doesn't have no ramp. And I told the manager to... Manager of the topless bar in Florida.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Just delete that out twice.
He is rocking today.
Damn it, he was on fire.
All wound up.
I'm sorry you folks couldn't hear that.
Wow, if you ever wanted to know. If you ever wanted to know, something had gone wide.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ed Law of Orlando says the Wildside Adult Sports Cabaret is violating the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That might be the funniest thing I've heard in about a year. I'm sorry you guys didn't get to hear it.
Oh, man. Ed says the only way to get to the lap dancing room is by a stairway.
Oh, that's not fair.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
How about that, Tommy? Sorry, we're out of time. Oh, calm down. That's it. We got to go. We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. We will see you then. Good day to you, sir.
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 Okay.
Toodaloo.
Pass.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave this with you.
Is the Don and Mike Show.